office, such as plasters, paints, tiles, and more, drop by Eco Design Resources of Santa Cruz and tell them that Deborah sent you. I'd be very happy. And remember, the weekly reader poll, it's due by the 15th. Let them know about Deborah Lindsay as the best DJ and KRXA as the best radio station and the best place for a political discussion. A couple of places you can pop those in. We'd be highly grateful for your support. Thank you very much for giving me part of your afternoon. Have a great one. And remember, tomorrow really matters. Tell a friend. And stay tuned now for the Peter B. Collins Show that's coming up next after the CBS News.
I got to meet you, baby, but I can't get up the nerve. Trying to justify the fact that you're what I deserve. Jenny, 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 you're so equipped with class. Especially when you're wearing that navy blue and brass. You're so very cool, I'm so very not. Lord have mercy, you're a motorcycle cop.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
News. I'm Barry Bagnato, live in Olney, Maryland. Polls are open 2 more hours in Maryland and D.C., 1 more hour in Virginia as voters pour out in key presidential primaries, Republican and Democratic.
I'd like to see the first woman that has the ability and skills and depth to do it.
Obama. I think he can bring the nation together better than the candidates.
I'm Peter Mayer in Fairfax, Virginia. Exit polls again show the country's at a socio and political turning point because of the Clinton-Obama race. More than 8 in 10 voters in the Maryland and Virginia primaries say the country is ready to choose a woman or a black president. Voters in both parties in both states say the economy is their top concern.
In those exit polls, Democrats say Barack Obama is more qualified than Hillary Clinton to be commander-in-chief. I'm Barry Bagnato, live in Olney, Maryland. Now here's Cammy McCormick.
The Bush administration unveiled a new plan today to help out homeowners in danger of foreclosing.
A half dozen major financial institutions plan to contact homeowners 90 days or more late on their payments to offer them a 30-day freeze on foreclosure to try to work out new terms. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson.
These efforts are to help American families who both want and can, through a loan modification or refinancing, stay in their homes.
Project Lifeline begins as a growing share of home sales are from foreclosures. An Associated Press analysis shows nearly half of home sales in parts of California are of foreclosed houses. John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
The full Senate's now voted to protect phone companies that allowed government eavesdropping before courts approved it. More than 40 lawsuits have been filed against AT&T, Verizon, and Sprint for violating Americans' privacy rights to help the government spy after 9/11. The measure faces a tough fight in the House, though. Caroline Fredrickson is with the ACLU.
We're really pushing the House to stand strong. The House passed a bill in the fall that had no immunity for the law-breaking telecommunications companies, and that also had greater protection, somewhat more oversight by the court system.
Lockheed Martin has won a huge contract to build a computer database of biometric information that could store digital images of faces and fingerprints. Still no word on what made an Atlantis astronaut so sick after he had to be pulled from a spacewalk this week. Correspondent Peter King was the first reporter to talk to him this afternoon.
He's doing well enough to head out on the mission's second spacewalk tomorrow.
I feel really great right now.
But Hans Schlegel is not saying anything about his mystery illness.
Medical issues are private.
He tells CBS News the first spacewalk went fine without him.
And I fully back the decision what we did to make the most success out of our mission so far.
Schlegel says he was disappointed to miss the first spacewalk, but the big picture is more important than his own personal feelings. Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
On Wall Street today, the Dow finished up 133 points. This is CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your tires.
We, your tires, have a list of demands.
A list of demands?
Yes, we demand that you take us to a Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer.
Well, I always go to a Ford or Lincoln.
At once. No appointment is necessary.
All right.
We further demand that once at the Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer, Ford trained service experts inspect us, check our inflation, and rotate us.
Hey, don't Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealers have a tire price guarantee?
Possibly.
Sure, they'll beat anyone's price on the name brand tires they sell, right?
Look, never mind that.
So, if I need to replace you...
Whoa, replace?
I could do it right there at a great... great price. Excellent. Okay, back to your demands.
Well, it was really more of a suggestion than a demand.
Thought so.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service only at your dealership. Come in, keep going. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see a participating dealership for details through 123108.
Music filled the White House today. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller was there for an event marking Black History Month.
I got sunshine.
No one at the White House seemed able to resist the Temptations as they performed some of their classic hits and moves. It was an East Room event marking African American History Month, which President Bush used to denounce racially motivated displays of nooses.
The noose is not a symbol of prairie justice, but of gross injustice.
He said such displays are deeply offensive and have no place in America. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
London, already one of the most expensive cities on earth, just got more so. The mayor there says drivers of gas-guzzling cars will have to pay the equivalent of $49 a day to enter central London. More fuel-efficient vehicles will pay less. It's part of a plan to cut congestion and pollution in the British capital. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Attention, Kmart shoppers. Mr. Blue Light here with Greg. And what, sir, are you getting your girlfriend for Valentine's Day?
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing?
Yeah, she said not to get her anything, so I'm not.
What she meant by that is that she wants you to surprise her with something from the heart.
This Valentine's Day, Kmart's Best of Blue has a beautiful half-carat diamond pendant for $99.99 that comes with a free box of Russell Stover chocolates.
Make this Valentine's Day sweet at Kmart.
Valid in continental U.S. only. While supplies last, assortment may vary by store. No range check. Sale ends 2/14/08. Diamond carat weights never more than 0.5 low stated weight.
At Mercedes-Benz, our affordable certified pre-owned vehicles come with the rich legacy of engineering that is Mercedes-Benz. And a 155-point inspection, roadside assistance, and a one-year warranty up to 100,000 miles. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz retains its integrity because, as a company, we have ours. Stop by your local authorized dealer and ask about the certified pre-owned program by Mercedes-Benz.
See dealer for complete details and warranty and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Well, my CD player has a hiccup, but I'm okay. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. We've got a lot to talk about, some great people to talk with on the program today. In our second hour, we're going to take a look at a shameful vote in the United States Senate today. Amnesty for the telephone companies in the illegal eavesdropping and surveillance of American citizens. We'll read you the list of the 19 shameful Democrats who voted for it. And we may be joined by a representative of the American Civil Liberties Union. We're working on that right now. Jason Leopold will be with us next hour, investigative reporter. And Melanie Sloan will check in from CREW, that's Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Also on today's show, Tom Unsicker, who rode his bicycle from Santa Cruz to Washington, D.C. He's back on the left coast. We're going to debrief him on his effort to bring courage to Congress. It was kind of a mixed bag. Or bags. You decide. You can call into this program toll-free at any time. 888-5. Peter B. is my toll-free number. And you can always email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. In our first hour today, I'm pleased to bring the voice of a former CIA analyst, a guy who ran the Bin Laden unit for many years, Michael Scheuer. His new book is called Marching Toward Hell.
This ain't no technological breakdown. Oh no, this is the road to hell.
Marching Toward Hell, America and Islam After Iraq. That's the newest book from Michael Scheuer. He risked his job at the CIA to publish his first book under the name Anonymous at first and then revealed his identity. It was called Imperial Hubris, Why the West is Losing the War on Terror. And he subsequently published a book called Through Our Enemy's Eyes, Osama bin Laden, Radical Islam, and the Future of America. Michael Shore, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you very much, sir. You're very kind to have me.
Well, it's always great to talk with you. You're a fascinating voice. You're the most polite career CIA guy that I've ever talked with. And I can just imagine, as you were preparing to execute me, that you would call me sir. You would ask if, there's a soda or something that you could get for me. And then you would add with some regret that it is your duty to terminate my life. And bye-bye.
Well, I would try to send you out in style, sir.
Yeah, I guess so. Michael, I learned some interesting things from your new book. One is that you and I share something in common. We were trained by the Jesuits.
Yes, sir.
And I don't do all that sir stuff because I kind of parted ways with the Jesuits at the end of high school. But I do think that the education that we got turns us into critical thinkers who are willing to think through things and also resist conventional wisdom and groupthink and just speak for oneself. And
I think that's a perfect way to describe it, sir. The Jesuits teach a man to speak for himself.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly right. And it was not always a pleasant experience, but it was at the end of the day, it was a tremendously profitable experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they would know you as Brother Scheuer, and the next time you saw them, they would look right past you as if you weren't existing.
Yeah.
So it was a very testing experience, but a very good one.
Yes, indeed. The other thing that I learned that I wanted to lead off with today is that you were in charge of the CIA rendition program in the early 1990s.
Yes, sir.
And many of us know about extraordinary rendition really only in recent years as it was utilized by the Bush administration. And I happen to be a sharp critic of the manner in which it has been used. But one of the things that rendition links to many of the other subjects that we'll discuss is that you fault Republicans and Democrats for failed foreign policies, and we'll discuss them in more detail. But talk a little bit about rendition and your own view of it and how it was employed by President Bill Clinton.
Yes, sir. We were directed in the middle of 1995 by Mr. Clinton. Mr. Berger then was in the White House, and Richard Clark, to begin to dismantle as many cells of al-Qaeda as we could find around the world. The intelligence at that time was showing very clearly that it was unlike any other terrorist group we had seen in terms of sophistication, dispersal, geographic dispersal, and intention. And so we did that. The assignment was given to the CIA, and we said, all right, we can do that, but what do we do with the people that are arrested? And Mr. Clinton's administration's answer was basically, that's up to you. And we said, no, you don't get it. We don't run jails. We don't have arrest authority. What do you want us to do with these people? And basically they said it was up to us. So what we decided to do was to focus on individuals in al-Qaeda, senior individuals, who were wanted in another country for a terrorism crime or some other crime, that there was a legal process outstanding for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so those were the portion of the al-Qaeda leadership we focused on. And we went back to the White House as we began this process, this program in the fall of 1995, and said to the White House, listen, here's what we're going to do. Do you want us to do it? And they said yes. And then we said, remember that most of these people are wanted in countries that are on your list of human rights abusers or bad judicial systems, and your State Department is going to be condemning those governments that you want us to take people to. And they said, well, that's a problem. and they said yes, because at the end of the day, we said it more diplomatically, when this becomes public, you will leave the agency holding the bag. And they said, well, will those countries promise to treat these people according to their own laws? And we said, yeah, we're pretty sure that the Egyptians will, or whoever will, mm-hmm. Treat these people according to their own laws. And that satisfied the Clinton administration. Now, there's been some post hoc insistence by Mr. Clinton and Mr. Clark and Mr. Berger that they insisted that these rendered terrorists be treated according to international standards and the standards of U.S. law. And that is really a post hoc lie.
Mm-hmm.
That was never demanded of any country we took a rendition target to.
So then in the Clinton years, you didn't render people to Egypt unless Egypt had a warrant out for this person?
That's exactly right, sir. The legal guidelines were that anyone who was picked up or who was a target of the CIA had to be a legitimate, you had to have information showing that he was either involved in terrorist activities, intended to be involved, or was a planner. And you had to convince the lawyers of that, and he had to have an outstanding judicial process somewhere in the world for him.
Mm-hmm.
And until you met those criteria, you could not undertake the operation.
Okay, and in these cases, if you overflew European airspace, for example, did you apply for permits, or did you skirt those laws and simply assert America's right to operate in this manner?
We're treading into areas, sir, where I'm not at liberty to talk about,
mm-hmm.
but I think you can imagine that this program, all clandestine programs, are just that, clandestine. But the idea that you could fly through European airspace without their permission is, of course, a non-starter. No one can fly over another country's airspace, especially a European country, without having a genuine problem if you do so without announcement or without permission.
Then from what you know of the rendition program under the Bush administration, do you feel that they violated those rubrics?
You know, I don't think so. I think there is an obligation to ask permission to fly through an airspace. I'm not sure there's always an obligation to declare what's on the aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
The real irony here, sir, is I've always been surprised, as you mentioned, that the media has focused so much on rendition under Mr. Bush,
mm-hmm.
which at the end of the day probably is a much more humane process than the one that was executed under Mr. Clinton.
Because?
Certainly we do nothing that approaches the level of the possible level of brutality or torture that's done in Middle Eastern countries.
Yeah, but we have the cases that are on the books of Maher Arar, the Canadian, and Al-Masri, the German, who were subjected to rendition. They were taken initially to American facilities where they report that they were tortured. And in the case of Maher Arar, he was a Syrian exile who did not want to be repatriated. That was his biggest fear. And we sent him to Syria, where he reports he was tortured. So in those cases, that stretches your point, Mr. Shorter.
Well, I think I would say there's two different things. As far as I'm aware, Khalid al-Masri was an operation conducted by the clandestine service.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the dossier on him.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to make a decision again today on the basis of the information that was available, I would have said do it again, or I would have asked permission to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Maher Arar,
right,
was
Canadian.
Not an agency operation. That was something done that was done at the request through the FBI, at the request of the Canadian.
Hmm, I see. Well, that is an important distinction. I understand that. Have you seen the movie Rendition?
I have not, sir, no.
Okay. Well, then I won't get your review.
Okay.
Michael Shorter is with us. As we continue, I want to dive into his new book, Marching Toward Hell. He's trying to tell us something, and I hope you'll listen. We're going to continue in just a moment. If you have a question or comment along the way, feel free to join us. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More in a moment with former CIA officer Michael Shorter here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. It's 22 minutes after the hour. Michael Scheuer spent more than 20 years working for the Central Intelligence Agency. His new book is called Marching Toward Hell, America and Islam After Iraq. And there are a number of powerful comments and observations that he makes in the book. He believes that we have a bipartisan failure of political leadership and foreign policy, and doesn't single out Bush over Clinton or Clinton over Bush in that respect. He also believes that America has tilted too much toward Israel and Saudi Arabia in its policies in the Middle East. And I certainly agree on both of those counts. And, Michael, I'd like to just start off here with a quote from very close to the end of your book here. And you talk about, you make an assertion that we have been defeated in Iraq and Afghanistan. I want to talk about that in a moment. But you write, at base, the United States has been defeated in Iraq and Afghanistan because U.S. leaders forgot or ignored the history of their country. The founders clearly saw the undoing of their republic if its government became involved in efforts to install the American model abroad, even if such an endeavor was launched in response to requests for help from foreign champions of liberty and democracy. You lift a quote from John Quincy Adams in 1821, and then citing it, you go on. The results for America of enlisting under banners other than her own are now being played out in the mountains, deserts, and cities of Afghanistan and Iraq. In trying to install America's system in devoutly Islamic lands, U.S. leaders display an arrogance derived from an odd combination of ignorance and naivete. Ignorance in not recognizing America's uniqueness or accepting that our political experience is not reproducible in a society characterized by the powerful pervasiveness of the Islamic faith. And you go on to say, naivete in not realizing that people like Hamid Karzai in Afghanistan, Ahmed Chalabi, our boy in Iraq, are quintessential representatives of what Adams called men of individual avarice, envy, and ambition, who can be counted on to assume the colors and usurp the standard of freedom. I think this is a very powerful statement. Do you care to amplify a little bit?
Well, we talk so much about the founders today, sir, as if we knew what we were talking about. And what I tried to point out there, as you read it, was that the founders were very sure in their wisdom that America was a unique entity. Not that it was better than anyone else or necessarily better than anyone else, but something that was unique because of our geographical position and our cultural inheritance. And the founders would probably be flipping in their graves at the idea of us trying to install a secular democracy in Afghanistan or in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can forgive any political leader, Democrat or Republican, for not knowing the five times of the day when Muslims pray. Or they don't know the biography of the prophet, or they don't know Islamic history. You can never forgive them for not knowing the history of their own country. And my own view is that our current leadership generation either is ignorant of our history, and they're all supposedly well-educated people, or they have nothing but contempt and a contempt for what Americans have achieved on this continent. And it's astounding. Our democracy started, if you want to pick a date, probably at Runnymede in 1215.
Mm-hmm.
We've been at this 800 years. We've only had a Voting Rights Act in our country since 1964. And through those 800 years, there has been emigration from Europe to here. There has been a revolution, civil war, world wars, depression, lynching, segregation, slavery. And all of that is part of what we are. And for Mr. Bush or Mr. Clinton or now Mrs. Clinton, Senator Obama or McCain to think they're going to digest that material, put it on a CD-ROM and give it to Chalabi or Maliki or Karzai, and have it installed in the next 6 months or 6 years is really an unforgivable error.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they're leading America to the road to disaster by doing this.
Well, and if I were to come up with a label, I don't consider you an isolationist, but an America firster. Is that fair?
I think so, a non-interventionist, sir. I'm mm-hmm. really not opposed at all to fighting a war if our national interests are at stake. But I fail to see President Bush in his second inaugural said that increasingly freedom at home and liberty at home in America depends on installing that elsewhere around the world. There is no more silly statement in the course of American history than that one. What you fight for is freedom of the seas against military threats that are aimed at you, Unfortunately for America, in the coming years, we'll be fighting for oil because the Congress has done nothing in 35 years to make us secure in that regard.
Let me jump in. We're going to take a break and return with Michael Scheuer. His new book is called Marching Toward Hell, America and Islam After Iraq. If you have a question or comment, now's the time. 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. Today, the Bank of America, Countrywide, J.P. Morgan Chase, and other big lenders, along with the Department of Housing and Urban Development, are announcing a new plan to help distressed mortgagees, not just subprime ones, but others too, to avoid foreclosures. This recognizes that some people who took out mortgages on homes they paid way too much for are now simply walking away.
With prices going down, the fact is people have very little incentive to stay in their homes, pretty much no matter what the mortgage rate is, given the fact that the debt is greater than the value of the house.
Economist Christopher Thornburg of Beacon Economics. He says the problem is not just that a lot of people are having trouble paying their mortgages.
The problem, of course, is that prices of homes in many parts of the United States have risen to levels that are completely unsustainable.
More after this.
This is a rate alert for February 2008. The Federal Reserve continues to cut interest rates aggressively. Right now, mortgage rates are hovering near lows we haven't seen since 2003. National mortgage leader Quicken Loans reports interest rates around 5.75% on secure fixed-rate loans, APR 5.91%. Smart homeowners are acting quickly to get fixed rates around 5.75% since rates this low seldom last long and tend to move up quickly without warning. Call Quicken Loans at 800-591-3522. In minutes, you can lock in a fixed rate around 5.75% and enjoy lower house payments for years to come. If you missed it in 2003, this is your opportunity for a fixed-rate mortgage around 5.75%. Call Quicken Loans now at 800-591-3522. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. Call 800-591-3522. That's 800-591-3522.
The New York Times has a front-page headline this morning saying that the mortgage crisis has spread beyond subprime loans. People with good credit and good incomes have mortgages on homes that aren't worth now what they were when they took the mortgages out. A group of big lenders announcing their plan today to give borrowers 90 days behind in payments, 30 days more to figure out options short of foreclosure, are only six among thousands of lenders in this country, although admittedly they are some important ones.
What's helpful here is that it includes some of the biggest, if not the biggest, lenders out there.
Jeff Screenis is housing director with the Hawthorne Area Community Council in Minneapolis.
And it goes beyond just the subprime aspect, and it takes into account everybody who's having an issue.
Other banks may follow suit, but what can be worked out in that 30-day span to put out the fire, spare the economy, the homeowners, the banks, and the taxpayers? Not much, says Christopher Thornburg.
2008 is the year of the walkaway, and I'm not sure what they could do to keep people in those homes, but for, of course, simply limiting the amount of debt, in other words, shrinking that mortgage.
The Osgood File. Transcripts, podcasts, and MP3s of these programs can be found at theosgoodfile.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines are open if you'd like to talk with me and my guest, Michael Scheuer. 888-5-PETER-B is the toll-free number. That's 1-888-573-8372. Are you ready? Michael Scheuer's new book is called Marching Toward Hell, America, and Islam After Iraq. It's out in hardcover for just $27 from Free Press. And, Michael, I wanted to lift another quote. This one is from the preface to your book, and it'll speak for itself. The absurdity of the debate between bin Laden and U.S. policymakers is palpable and generally unfolds as follows. Bin Laden issues a starkly specific attack on U.S. foreign policy, and Washington responds with defiant words defending a right or liberty that bin Laden has not mentioned and that has nothing to do with his assertion. Thus, bin Laden says, get U.S. forces out of the Arabian Peninsula. Washington responds, you will not prevent our women from going to school. Bin Laden says, stop supporting Russia's genocidal war in Chechnya. Washington responds, you will not disrupt our elections. Bin Laden says, stop supporting the tyrannical Arab police states that oppress and torture. Washington says, freedom is on the march for Arabs. And there are a few more on the list here, but I think people get the idea. And, Michael, do you think there's any hope that at some point we will stop talking past one another and at least listen critically to what Osama bin Laden has been saying since he declared war on the United States in 1996?
Sir, there doesn't seem to be any chance in the next four-year term that we'll do that. Mr. Obama is kind of a blank slate to me in terms of foreign policy, but from what I've read, he sounds very much a status quo person. Mrs. Clinton clearly is a status quo person. And if Mr. McCain is elected, if it's allowable under Islam to do the happy dance in a cave, then Osama bin Laden and his boys will be doing the happy dance.
It's hard to do when you're attached to a dialysis machine.
Yes, yes. I guess it would be the happy foot pitter-pat or something. But, no, you know, we tend to denigrate our enemies as gangsters and nihilists and just simple criminals. I have to say that from my own perspective, there's a touch of genius in bin Laden because he has focused on a set of American foreign policies that polls show to be viewed by 80% of the Muslims around the world as an attack on their faith or on their brethren.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that that percentage is willing to pick up a rifle, but it's a fairly large support base. Our politicians, of course, don't want to talk about unqualified support for Israel. They really don't want to do anything about energy. They're not going to tell the American people that your son or daughter is going to die in a war to protect the gangsters that run Saudi Arabia.
And while we have removed our troops from there, Bush was there just recently holding hands and kissing the king's face. I mean,
yeah, just basically groveling.
Those images, and he asked for more oil, and they said no.
No, well, they're the masters, sir. They control the spigot, and now they control, a good part of our debt they own. And really, you can talk about Russia, you can talk about China as threats to the United States, but there's no nation on this earth that's more threatening to America than Saudi Arabia.
Now, why is it that your opinion is not heard on that issue? I agree with you. From 9/11 forward, I felt we should be focusing on Pakistan and Saudi Arabia, and that Iraq should be way down that list.
Yes, sir. Iraq clearly wasn't a threat to the United States in anyone's imagination, but kind of the fervid imaginations of Feith and Wolfowitz. And the reason that the Saudis aren't more generally condemned, I think it's because they quite liberally bribe the Congress by buying large amounts of American arms, because they hire former senior intelligence officers ambassadors and generals to lobby the White House and the Congress on their behalf.
Somebody like Jim Baker and Madeleine Albright?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And virtually every ambassador, if something happens that makes Saudi Arabia look bad, within a day or two there'll be a full page or a large editorial op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal by a former U.S. ambassador to Riyadh saying what great guys the Saudis are.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is that no American politician wants to admit that we've so squandered our independence that the Saudis control our economy and our debt. So when you add up all those things, sir, it's not surprising that the Saudis are very seldom criticized within the United States government.
And what about Pakistan? Do you regard them with the same concern that I do?
I think Pakistan's a very dangerous place, but I have to say that I tend to think that the problem with Pakistan is more us than them. When you step back for a moment and look at what Musharraf has done for the United States, he has allowed us virtually unfettered overflight rights of his country. He's allowed the expansion of the military and the intelligence services in his country. Every major senior al-Qaeda person captured in his cities has been with the assistance of his services. The port of Karachi is basically a U.S. naval base at this point in time. And he brought his country to the brink of civil war by sending his army into the border areas where it had never been before. Now, for whatever reason, we don't seem to have an appreciation that Pakistan's national interests are extraordinarily different than ours. And so we keep waiting as if this was the Cold War for our Pakistani proxy to take care of our problem. And it's not going to happen. And I think, in at least in my lifetime, only one man gave up his country for a friend, and that was Mullah Omar in Afghanistan. President Musharraf has done all he can do and keep Pakistan together as a functioning, viable nation state.
And, well, I hear what you're saying. At the same time, we've given Musharraf $11 billion.
Yes.
It appears much of it has been squandered or misdirected. And, you know, most Americans think that by now, if Pakistan is a true ally, we would have captured or killed Osama bin Laden and Ayman al-Zawahiri.
Well, I think Americans think that, sir, but I think this is one point where they ought to step back and say, now, where in the Constitution does the executive branch have the power to delegate the protection of America, America's defense, to a third world dictator? And it's just, to me, this is not the Cold War era anymore. We can't count on proxies to do our dirty work. If we're going to have to, if we have dirty work to do, we're going to have to do it. You know, there's a certain blindness, Mr. Collins, in politicians in not being able to see the other politician's problems. And you don't need to have empathy for them or sympathy for them, but you should have a realistic view of the parameters they set for his conduct.
Well, and I believe the most valuable service you have provided and attempted to provide to an unwilling media and a nation in denial is not sympathy or compassion for the other side, but simply understanding their point of view. And, for example, you point out in the book that it would have been simple enough for Bush and the neocons to research the religious significance of some of the sites in Iraq to Islam, and that by, you know, putting Christian soldiers on Islamic soil, some of it considered very holy, like the city of Najaf, that we have once again been tone deaf and arrogant and ignorant of the, you know, very geography and the history of that part of the world that is so widely known and readily available.
Yes, sir. There's virtually nothing that has happened in Iraq or in Afghanistan that was not predictable with on the basis of reading a few books. I mentioned in the introduction to my book that it started out to be called From Pandora's Box because I initially had bought into the idea that these were unexpected consequences. As I researched, though, doing a lot of historical reading, I found out that you can have unexpected consequences, but they aren't necessarily unpredictable. And virtually everything that has happened to us in Afghanistan happened to Alexander the Great, happened twice to the British Empire, and happened to the Soviet Union. In Iraq, if you read the British Army's reports of the revolt in Iraq in 1920, they experienced basically the same thing we have done now. One of America's besetting faults in my generation is the fact that we don't think history applies to us. I said in the book somewhere, I think, that we try to make history without reading it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're paying the price for that now. History is exacting a dear price on the United States.
Michael Scheuer, our guest, his new book, Marching Toward Hell. In the book, you declare that 8 or 10 different occasions surfaced during the Clinton administration when you had solid intelligence on the location of Osama bin Laden and that the U.S. failed to act. That
yes, sir.
You include a story of a trip that you made to the White House with George Tenet a snowy Sunday just before Christmas in 1998. You had a chance to kill Osama in Kandahar, Afghanistan. And you seem to feel, based on your description here, that the intelligence was very strong. And yet, when George Tenet came out of the White House, the decision was not taken to
yes.
take action. Talk a little bit about this history and what you regard as the failures of the Clinton administration to act on true opportunities to nail the top dogs of Al-Qaeda.
Well, I think that certainly is one, sir. We knew bin Laden was in the governor's palace. We knew which wing he was in, and we saw which room he went into. And on that occasion, the government decided not to try to kill him because some shrapnel might have hit a mosque nearby. And not worshippers, because this was the middle of the night,
mm-hmm.
but they argued that the shrapnel scratching a mosque or knocking down part of a mosque would so enrage the Muslim world that Americans would be killed around the world willy-nilly. And really, that's an incredibly racist kind of idea that somehow all Muslims are mad killers if their mosques get scratched.
Well, and you pointed out parenthetically that this was a Sunni area and that Sunnis are less touchy about religious symbols and the sacredness of a building than many Shia are.
Much less so, sir. You know, it's almost heresy at times if you treat a mosque with too much respect because it is symbolic of God, and God is not something to be represented in man-made symbols. So I think the bigger point is, and I try to be nonpartisan on these foreign policy issues. Mr. Bush had a chance to kill Mr. Zarqawi every day for a year before the invasion. He had a chance to get bin Laden at Tora Bora.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that the American people paid for a career for me that was unbelievably beneficial to me and enjoyable and something that I'm proud of. The only disagreeable part of my experience as a CIA officer was over the course of 22, almost 23 years, to see how infrequently the protection of Americans comes first in the consideration of any executive, Democratic or Republican. They're worried about what the Europeans will think about them. They're worried about Muslim opinion. They're worried about whether an arms sale. One time we had a chance to kill bin Laden, and they didn't kill him because he was with a prince from the United Arab Emirates, and the prince's father was about to buy $8 billion worth of F-16.
Oh, God.
So, and it goes on and on. It's, you know, the protection of American citizens generally comes in about fifth or sixth in the list of priorities, in my experience.
We're going to take a break and return with Michael Scheuer. His new book is fascinating, and he's trying to tell us something, as I've been telling you this hour. I hope you can listen to it. It's called Marching Toward Hell. More in a moment. You can grab a line and talk with us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Do you want some downtime? A break from work and worry without breaking the bank? At the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes in Watsonville will give you the breathing space you need. The Spa at Pajaro Dunes is now open to the general public. Spend an hour being pampered with a warm stone massage or European facial. Gather your friends together for a spa party or surprise your sweetie with a couples massage. Stay for a long, lazy weekend in a luxurious condo at the Dunes with 150 acres of beach and wetlands. You'll have your own ocean view and the price is unbeatable. Only a short drive from anywhere on the Central Coast, relief is only minutes away without the time and expense of a long trip. We'll also simplify your wedding plans. Have your ceremony, guests, and special events all in the same place. In nearby Watsonville, at the Dunes and the spa at Pajaro Dunes will make your life a little easier and a lot more enjoyable. Call 888-91-DUNES and mention KRXA to get our lowest rates. That's 888-91-DUNES.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
I took a correspondence class in wiretapping and assassination.
It's the Peter B. Show.
I learned the lingo and the proper etiquette for covert operation. I got my degree in top secrecy, 'cause I'm gonna be a spy.
That's Roy Zimmerman from his latest CD called Faulty Intelligence. You can grab it at royzimmerman.com. We continue with Michael Scheuer, former CIA official, 22 years or so at the agency, and his new book is called Marching Toward Hell, America and Islam After Iraq, and he flatly declares that the U.S. has lost in Iraq and Afghanistan. Michael, there was one part of your book that was really hard for me to swallow, and that was you started off in a kind of criticism of what you call anti-national organizations, and then you get your sledgehammer out for what you call the interlocking network of human rights organizations, and you say that when our troops go into a war zone, that as they seek to kill the enemy in whatever numbers necessary to prevail, these NGOs operate under the prying, biased, busybody and war crimes litigation, eager eyes of human rights groups, monitors, and advocates, and you go on to call them a human rights mafia. Now, isn't that a little bit extreme?
Well, I don't know. You know, I'm very concerned with human rights in the United States. I'm not sure that the rules apply the same way in warfare. My own view is that the only mercy in warfare is getting it over as quickly as you can. But I have to tell you that my respect for the human rights people, which was, I'll admit frankly, was never more than moderate, has fallen precipitously as they chase American soldiers or CIA intelligence officers around because someone gets killed in a war. And at the same time, not a voice is raised about the genocide presided over by Putin and the legatees of the Soviet system.
Mm-hmm.
There's something morally suspect, I think, in organizations who are focused on punishing people for the rendition program, for example, but have no concern whatsoever for the legatees of a system that killed 40 million people.
Now, I understand that point, and Michael, I understand your loyalty to your fellow operatives in the Central Intelligence Agency and other parts of our intelligence community. My issue is with those who break the law in authorizing, for example, a CIA officer, or perhaps it was a contractor, to waterboard Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. And I do not want to see that CIA individual punished, because I believe he or she was doing their job, and we at least know anecdotally that there were individual cables from Washington authorizing individual interrogation activities.
Yes, sir.
What I want to know is who authorized that. And that's what's being stonewalled. And like Abu Ghraib, we are seeing the low-level people vilified and in some cases prosecuted as those who authorized it at the top skate. And that's my issue.
Well, that's a very good issue, sir. You know, the agency, people find it hard to believe because they're not inside, but the agency is palsied by lawyers and legal rulings. But in terms of the CIA rendition program over the last 13 years, it's very clear who authorized it. Everything that was done was authorized by the President of the United States. His authority is required for any operation the CIA conducts, any covert operation.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, both of the intelligence committees in the Congress, in the House and in the Senate, were fully aware of the program, its conduct, and its successes and failures. So I agree with you that the American people need to be squared with. But, of course, Mr. Clinton has run like crazy, saying he demanded from the Egyptians that all rendition people be treated according to U.S. law and international standards,
mm-hmm.
which is a lie. But you're exactly right. It, to my mind, if there's a gripe with this, if there's a problem with this, then the Congress needs to stand up and pass a law that says you can't do this anymore.
All right, let's go to John in Carmel Valley. John, you're on the air with Peter B. and Michael Scheuer.
Someone pointed out if Bush was president at the time of Pearl Harbor, he would have declared war on Iceland, and it's worse than that. It would have probably been Spitsbergen or Sand City or God knows what else. Why I say that is, in my opinion, a bigger mistake even than invading both Afghanistan and Iraq is based on their incredibly false premise that you fight terrorism with conventional military means. We obviously, they didn't learn anything, we didn't learn anything from Vietnam, dealing with the Viet Cong and these phantom-like characters, real guerrillas, and terrorists are more phantom-like, more poltergeist-like than anything we encountered in Vietnam.
John, you make a good point. Let's get a reaction. Michael Scheuer?
I tend to think that there's nothing, that what we're engaged in has almost nothing to do with terrorism. This is much closer to insurgency, and I think there is a legitimate military role for conventional forces in fighting this enemy. The problem our military has is with our politicians, who have convinced the American people and apparently deluded themselves into believing that you can fight an insurgency with very few casualties on your side, no collateral damage, and only killing the most senior leaders of the enemy. Again, it's a matter of not knowing history, of not knowing the reality that man hasn't changed very much in the last several millennia.
And, Michael, just a final question from Steve in Salinas. He wanted to know how sure you are that Osama bin Laden was responsible for 9/11.
Oh, I think there's no doubt about that, sir. You know, The one thing we do have is a pretty good track record of what he claims to have done and what he's done. He's admitted that he did it. The intelligence was...
But do we have any proof?
Well,
Khalid Sheikh Mohammed has admitted a lot of things that he couldn't possibly have done.
Well, I think one of the things that the problem we have with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in what he's admitted to is that the only way you know how he was connected to those things is with information that the government has not released.
Mm-hmm.
When he made a claim for all of those attacks, he didn't claim that he commanded them. What he said was he was involved with them.
Michael Scheuer, I'm out of time. Thank you, sir. We'll talk again.
I look forward to it. Thank you kindly, Mr. Collins.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Potomac primaries. Big smiles for supporters of John McCain and Barack Obama.
He is not afraid to diverge from the popular opinion.
I like what he stands for. He brings a lot of energy to the party.
He's the right person at the right time. Refreshing, energetic.
Uncle Sam buys time for mortgage-strapped homeowners.
We've never argued that this will help everyone, or that it should.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Harley Carnes. Polls are closing in Virginia now, and CBS News estimates that when all the votes are counted, Barack Obama will be the Democratic winner in Virginia. CBS News is not ready to estimate a winner in the Republican contest in Virginia. The polls in Maryland and in Washington, D.C. close in an hour. Exit polls put the economy as issue number one. Live now to Fairfax, Virginia, CBS's Peter Mayer.
Harley, the Clinton campaign is bracing for bad news. The prospect of an Obama sweep of all three of today's races. Exit polls show that by a wide margin, Virginia Democrats chose change, Obama's theme, over experience, Clinton's issue, by a wide margin. CBS News Chief Washington correspondent Bob Schieffer says the New York senator's campaign is at a crossroads.
And her job right now is to convince people she's still in this thing, which I think a year ago, who would have thought we'd be at that point?
Hillary Clinton is staking her campaign on early March primaries now in Ohio and Texas. Live in Fairfax, Virginia, Peter Mayer, CBS News.
I'm Barry Bagnato, live in Olney, Maryland. John McCain is the expected Republican winner here in Maryland and in Virginia and D.C. as well. These victories would give him two-thirds of the delegates he needs to claim the GOP nomination. In exit polls, more than half of Virginia Republicans complain he's not conservative enough, but that's apparently not a party buster. 75% say they'd be satisfied with him as the nominee. 8 in 10 Democrats in Virginia and here in Maryland say they're ready to elect a black or a woman president. Harley?
That's Barry Bagnato. Now this.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Don't let your message get lost in the crowd. Office Depot takes care of that with 49-cent color copies to make sure your work stands out. Only at Office Depot will Xerox-certified print specialists bring the proven power of color to your message in presentations, brochures, flyers, and more. So hurry into Office Depot today and get your business noticed. Office Depot, taking care of business with 49-cent color copies. Valid for letter and legal-size single-sided copies on up to 28-pound paper stock.
Ooh, get the stinky dog away from me.
Healthy dogs don't stink. Healthy dogs eat Dynavite.
The omega-3 fatty acids, the enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
859-428-1000.
Yes, Dynavite. Tons of energy, no more bad smells. DINOVITE.com.
Project Lifeline won't help everyone in trouble with their mortgage, but it is good news for those on the bubble. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson says the arrangements with institutes handling about half of the country's mortgages will give 30 days delay in mortgage foreclosure proceedings.
This is an important new initiative targeted to reach not only subprime borrowers, but all 90-day delinquent homeowners.
It buys time to find a better deal. If the phone company gives up information on a suspected terrorist communication, they can't be sued for it.
The Senate voted to bow to President Bush's demand and give phone companies retroactive immunity from lawsuits stemming from the years when they let the Bush administration tap phones and snoop into emails without warrants. The administration warned without it, the companies might not cooperate in the future, a position echoed by Missouri Republican Senator Kit Bond.
The bottom line is we just don't know what tomorrow will bring.
A temporary extension of the wiretap law expires Friday, but House leaders, whose own bill does not include immunity, say there's no way this can be worked out by then. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
President Bush, marking African American History Month, made his feelings clear today about the appearance of hangman's nooses in some places.
The era of rampant lynching is a shameful chapter in American history.
The noose, he said, a symbol of gross injustice. Playing bumper cars south of Fresno.
I try to warn him by tapping, but he just... boom.
After the boom, of course, come the ambulances. 10 people injured, 18 vehicles in the pile in the fog on Highway 99.
The paint truck that hit a car down here, all the paint came over and hit me, and I ran over it.
I kind of got off the on the side of the road, and in the front of my eyes, the big truck just hit the car, man.
Bad weather on the East Coast. We're told on the Beltway around Washington, 20 cars have piled up on icy streets. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your tires.
We, your tires, have a list of demands.
A list of demands?
Yes, we demand that you take us to a Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer.
Well, I always go to a Ford or Lincoln.
At once. No appointment is necessary.
All right.
We further demand that once at the Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer, Ford trained service experts inspect us, check our inflation, and rotate us.
Hey, don't Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealers have a tire price guarantee?
Possibly.
Sure, they'll beat anyone's price on the name brand tires they sell, right?
Look, never mind that.
So, if I need to replace you...
Whoa, replace?
I could do it right there at a great price. Excellent. Okay, back to your demands.
Well, it was really more of a suggestion than a demand.
Thought so.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service, only at your dealership. Come in, keep going. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see a participating dealership for details through 12/31/08.
General Motors is...
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Investigative reporter Jason Leopold returns coming up in about half an hour. We'll talk about the battle over missing White House emails. And Melanie Sloan from Crew has an update on that coming up next hour, too. Crew has won a lawsuit against the White House over those missing emails. But this half hour, we observe, this is a day of infamy. By a vote of 67-31, with 19 Democrats colluding, the United States Senate rejected an amendment that would remove amnesty, or what they call immunity, for the telephone companies that collaborated with the Bush administration in its violation of the FISA law, your constitutional right to privacy, and your Fourth Amendment right to probable cause before search or seizure. And this is something that's been brewing for a while. We've been talking about it almost daily. And yet I am disappointed and still a little bit stunned that so many Democrats would join in and essentially seal the coffin. More than 40 lawsuits have been filed trying to determine the extent of the monitoring program, intercepting telephone calls, emails, and other transmissions. And with this action by the United States Senate, I view it as highly unlikely that we will ever know the dimensions of the law-breaking and the violations of the constitutional oaths of office of Bush and Cheney. We get commentary from Caroline Fredrickson. She is the director of the American Civil Liberties Union's Washington Legislative Office, top lobbyist for Our Civil Liberties, runs a 50-person staff, and also works to bring on board some of the conservative constitutionalists. Caroline, welcome to the program today.
Well, it's a real pleasure to be with you.
Well, I really appreciate your advocacy. I've seen you quoted many times in the byplay over the FISA reform or whatever one cares to call it. Anthony Romero, your executive director, was on our program a couple of weeks ago. And I really commend the ACLU because you've been conducting the fight that, squeamish Democrats, for the most part, have been unwilling to engage in.
Well, thank you very much. And, I think it's been necessary for the ACLU and for all the people who have worked with us, including a lot of people from the Bay Area, to put pressure on Congress. It's really unfortunate that so many members of Congress flinch whenever the president starts to say the words soft on terrorism, if they curl up into a ball and give in.
Well, and this is not an issue about terrorism, because the FISA law was one of the most loosely written pro-government spying regulations that we have ever seen. It was intended really to prevent the most egregious of abuses. And yet, even with its laxity and its secrecy and the high rate of approvals that it has granted to requests over the years for wiretaps and other surveillance programs, this administration simply thumbed its nose at the existing law and said, we can get away with this because we assert presidential power, we assert that this is wartime, and besides, we're making the American people safer.
That's so true. It's so true. And I just say that one of the really sad things about the Senate's vote today is they're voting themselves into obsolescence, because what they've done is they've approved the president's assertion of his unlimited power to listen in on all of our phone calls and read our emails without a warrant, without court oversight, without any congressional involvement. And they just now put their rubber stamp on that and said, yes, that's right, we're a meaningless body and all the power resides in the presidency.
Yeah. And to allow the argument to be framed as one of keeping us safe and preventing attacks on the American people is just absurd. And Caroline, let me just ask you to recite for us what the president and vice president say in their oath of office. They don't say that they're going to defend and keep safe the American people. They're going to protect and preserve and defend the Constitution of the United States. And
that's right. Well, it's unfortunate, but it's clear. I mean, I think we all know that from so many circumstances that you really can't take this president or vice president at their word. But I think some of the points that you made were very clear and important, and people who are listening should be aware. FISA is something that we had a great deal of criticism for before the warrantless wiretapping program was unearthed by some very good journalists. It is a system which is a secret court. Only one side gets to be in there, and that's the government.
Mm-hmm.
The court has granted, in the 30 years that it has been in existence, it's granted almost every single warrant application that has ever been put in front of it. And there's an emergency provision in FISA that says to the government, hey, if you really need to go wiretap now without a warrant, go ahead, get started, and come back to the court afterwards. All of these things were built into the law to protect our civil liberties, but more importantly, to facilitate surveillance. With that amount of laxity in the system, with that much ability to get warrants whenever they went to the court and asked for them, this administration wants to assert that even that minimal amount of oversight somehow treads on the president's inherent authority to be the king,
mm-hmm.
and that Congress is a meaningless body.
Caroline Fredrickson with us from the ACLU in Washington. If you have a comment, give us a call. Your call is subject to monitoring by the National Security Agency. They're looking for keywords, like Osama or terror or Bush. And you should...
Democrat, I don't know.
Yeah, you just should be aware of that. 888-5, Peter B. is our number, 888-573-8372. So, Caroline, if you can help me out, I have not been able to monitor the debate in the Senate hour by hour. What happened to Chris Dodd's threat of a filibuster?
Well, you know, the filibuster is kind of a, how should we say, it's something that doesn't really exist anymore. You know, it's essentially what happens is that, you know, if you object to going forward as the leader wants to go forward, then they file a motion called a cloture motion, and then there's a vote on that motion, and that's what brings an end to the filibuster. So it's sort of a routine matter.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Dodd objected to moving forward. Harry Reid filed a cloture motion last week. It takes 3 days to ripen. So, it's sort of happened in the dark of night and then over the weekend. It's not a real thing. It's not a live thing anymore. It's a way of making slowing things down a bit. I mean, I think Senator Dodd did a great job. He derailed this whole thing in December because of the press of the holidays, which obviously are more important than our Constitution to some members of Congress.
Yeah.
He did what he could. You know, here we are. We're in February. At least we had 2 more months of a national discussion about where these issues take us. I think the really unfortunate thing is that our Congress is so out of step with the people. Our polling shows, all sorts of reporting shows that the American people both reject warrantless wiretapping. They think the president should be subject to the law, just like every man and woman on the street. And they don't think there should be this huge giveaway to the telecom companies that was rolled up in this package. The Christmas present that they were hoping to get in December. Well, now it's a Groundhog's Day present instead.
Well, and it's called immunity, but I think the more accurate term is amnesty, because this is backdated. This is a form of immunity that goes back, we know, to the time prior to 9/11, because Quest, Nacho, the CEO who is now behind bars on what may be a politically trumped-up insider trading case, he's the one who went public and said, well, you know, they wanted me to start tapping in February or March of 2001. And, Caroline, even to this day, corporate media reporters routinely say that the domestic surveillance program began after 9/11. And this is one of those issues that will not be aired out, because between the administration's assertion of the state secret privilege, the court's deference to it, and now the inability to sue the telephone companies to expose the breadth and depth of this surveillance program, we will probably never know.
That's so right. And the administration is pursuing the reporters who dared to actually report the truth about the illegal activity of this administration. So they're getting subpoenas. And they're going after those great New York Times reporters, James Rise and Eric Lischblau, who broke the story to start with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these people are vicious. It's the trifecta, you know. First they take out the court system. They're going to take out Congress, and no more free press. And what are we left with? What are we doing in Iraq trying to create a democracy? I think we should start here at home, because what we have is clearly falling apart.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. So, Caroline, lest I leave people totally depressed and cynical before we go to a break, is there any hope that in conference that the better version, the House version, will prevail? Or have we crossed the line now into this amnesty language and the House essentially will be forced to adopt some version of the Senate language?
Well, let me just start by saying, number one, I think people should be pretty proud in the Bay Area that both your senators voted no on final passage. Now, Senator Feinstein wasn't in the right place on some of the amendments along the way.
Well, she voted against the critical amendment on immunity. Yes, she did.
So she deserves some criticism there, but she voted against the bill on final passage, recognizing, even she recognized, it went too far in stripping our basic privacy protections.
Well, Caroline, I'm sorry. I have to disagree with you, because I watched Senator Feinstein very carefully. She has been trying to paper over this lawbreaking for the longest time, even before she knew, under the briefings that she's been given over the last year or so, somewhat the dimensions of the program. And she was the one who had this mealy-mouthed amendment that failed, that would have sent it to the FISA court to decide.
No disagreements with you on the general point. I think she does need a little bone thrown her way for voting no on final passage, because, honestly, there weren't that many of them who took that step. So I agree with you. She hasn't been as strong as she could have been by far. But I think the fact that she was stood among the minority in the Senate who voted no should give her a little bit of credit. But to sort of go back to the sort of what where there's hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got C-SPAN on right now. I see Nancy Pelosi on the screen. You know, it's certainly not a foregone conclusion that the House is just going to roll over. But a lot of that depends on people actually expressing their anger over the Senate vote. And we've been working really hard at the ACLU, along with a lot of our colleagues and other advocacy groups, and along with our allies on the Hill, like Senator Feingold and Senator Dodd, to put the burden on the House now and say, you know, you passed an okay bill, not a great bill, not a good bill even, but a much less bad bill, I should say, than what the Senate passed. But it didn't have immunity either. And we've been pushing them, pushing Nancy Pelosi to stand strong. She said she was going to fix the Protect America Act. She railed against it when it passed in August.
Right.
Now she needs to make good. There's no reason that they actually have to pass anything at all. And if they don't like the Senate bill, they should just forget about it.
All right, we got to take a break, and we'll pick up there as we continue. Caroline Fredrickson from the Washington office of the ACLU is with us. The Senate did pass legislation immunizing the telephone companies under this reformed FISA law. 888-5 Peter B. If you'd like to join us, Ms. Fredrickson with us for another segment. 888-573-8372. More straight ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hello, this is Jane Fleming with Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery in Monterey. And if you have a new emerging business like I do, consider advertising on KRXA 540 AM. KRXA is one of the best values on the Central Coast in today's competitive marketplace. Beyond Wheat has seen noticeable and consistent growth since our ads began with KRXA. We are muffins ahead in sales every month thanks to sales manager Larry Rathall. Call Larry at 394-KRXA. That's 394-5792. You'll be so glad you did.
Well, good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA, and we'll start things off at Santa Cruz, southbound Highway 1 at 17. It's a broken-down van that's tying up the left-hand lane. Heads up on the Pacheco Pass, eastbound 152 at Casa de Fruta. Tire, that's blocking the right-hand lane. San Juan Batista, Cyril Road at Anzar Road. A baby cow is strolling in the lanes. For Soquel, Mapplethorpe Lane at Soquel Drive. Getting reports of a pickup truck with a couple of flat tires. That's partially blocking the roadway. It's apparently been abandoned out there a couple of days. So CHP's out there. They're waiting for a tow truck to arrive. Los Gatos area, actually in the Santa Cruz Mountains foothills, northbound 17, the ramp over to eastbound 9. A two-car fender bender, that's off to the right-hand shoulder. Also northbound 9 from Middle Road out to Western Avenue and Ben Lomond. The left lane shut down for road work. Echoes on until the 29th, so be prepared for delays there. This traffic report is brought to you by Jack in the Box. Come try Jack's new sirloin steak melt. Hot and hearty sirloin strips topped with grilled onions and melting cheese on grilled sourdough bread. Only at Jack in the Box. That's traffic on KRXA.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show, and just an admission of miscalculation. It was 18 Democratic senators who voted to drop the amendment that would have repealed the immunity for the phone companies. Not 19, as I stated. And in our next segment, we will name names. We will tell you those 18 Democrats who voted, in my opinion, the wrong way on an issue that may be very difficult to fix in the future. We continue with Caroline Fredrickson from the ACLU's Washington office, top lobbyist for our civil rights. And, Caroline, let's go back a little bit to what Nancy Pelosi can do. Because, you know, my experience is that in conference committees, there is a little extra deference given to the United States Senate, and often the House comes up on the losing end. How could she manage the conference in a way that preserves what is the less bad bill, the House version?
Well, I mean, there are a couple things to start with, and one is that there is no need for anything to pass. And I think she needs to stand strong and realize that her leverage is there. That if they really want to make some changes to FISA, they need the House, right? She doesn't have to put, she's in charge of the floor schedule. She's in charge of what actually goes through the House. But, you know, there's no reason that they need to complete this on the president's timeline. So, for example, this Protect America Act, this terrible bill, really terrible bill that passed in August, is expiring at Friday at midnight. But so what? You know, as I was saying before your break, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act still exists. It still allows for quite a bit of surveillance to go on. It still has this emergency provision that allows them to wiretap even without a warrant. The orders, and I don't know if your listeners know this, but the orders for surveillance that are basically data mining, very broad-based, they're not warrants in any fashion at all, they go on for up to a year after they've been issued under this Protect America Act, again, with no court oversight at all. All that's going to continue on. So the idea that somehow that President Bush is trying to create this idea that we are in great danger if Congress doesn't immediately pass the version that he wants to pass of this intelligence bill. And I think the House just needs to reject that. And
But Bush is very good at creating the phony crisis, and the crisis is either that we're about to be attacked or Congress is about to go on vacation. And we don't have a vacation imminent, so...
They do. He's very clever that way. There's one next week.
That's right. President's holiday break.
But again, I don't think the American people thinks this is a crisis. It's just some members of Congress. And I think it's really unfortunate. We've done polling. We did two extensive polls, both in the fall and just recently in January, to update it, to show Congress, guess what, the American people rejects warrantless wiretapping and the American people rejects immunity for the telecom companies. Very strong numbers. This is all up on our website at www.aclu.org for anybody who's interested. But people get a giveaway to some companies that they really don't like, you know, in their everyday life. And when they see them getting special gifts from the government, from this president, for their having done illegal activities, people get that, and that registered very strongly in our polls. I don't know why the members of Congress are so far behind the American public.
No, that's a good point. Ruth and Carlotta has a question. Go ahead, Ruth. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Peter. I'm sorry, and this may be badly timed, but you were talking with your guest about Senator Feinstein, and I had understood this morning that she had voted against this amendment, and I called and gave him a piece of my mind for her her vote, and now I'm thinking that maybe if she voted, I'm really unclear about what she voted for.
Caroline, clarify for us. What she voted against the overall bill after voting against the crucial amendment that would have fixed it.
There were several amendments, but the one that was most critical in this regard was the amendment offered by Senator Dodd and Senator Feingold, who've been real champions on this issue, to strip out the terrible provision giving immunity, or amnesty, as you correctly call it, to these telephone companies that broke the law. Senator Feinstein voted against that very important amendment. She really deserves to be criticized for that, and you did the right thing by calling in.
Okay.
She made it up a bit at the end of the day by voting against the whole thing, which includes immunity, obviously. So, you know, it's, you know, she's a bit of a hard one to figure out sometimes.
Yeah, let's just take the Mukasey confirmation as our final example. Caroline, thank you very much for your work. Thanks for talking with us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
ACLU.org. Read more about it. Jason Leopold joins me next. Stay tuned.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
You must believe. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. First, let me say right off the top, the anti-recession checks are coming.
I think these checks will be in people's hands by May.
By May, up to $600 each to be used to save your country. Not that we're in a recession.
I think the experts will tell you we're not in a recession.
No, because the experts will also tell you that if people believe a recession is underway, they could cut their spending plans and create, you know, a recession. And that's a real concern because yet another survey has come out showing that people do believe a recession is underway. 61% now believe it because they've seen the value of their homes drop, and that makes them unwilling to shop to the extent that patriotism would dictate. So the checks are not just to give people money to spend, but to get us all to believe that because all this money is going out, there won't be a recession, so that even people who don't get the checks will spend more, thereby preventing the recession they believed was going to happen. It's all a matter of mindset. If we can just pull together and get ourselves to believe that there's not going to be a recession, there won't be one. If we just tell ourselves over and over there's not going to be a recession, that there are people smarter than we are who know what to do. I am a river, a flowing river of purchasing power. My home will increase in value. Wall Street is going to be fine. The surge is working. Climate change is our friend. Now that the writer's strike is over, TV's worth watching again. One more week of hot yoga and those 10 pounds will be gone. Well, it works for me.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network Firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Network Firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Jim Moore Income Tax in Watsonville has been helping Monterey Bay Area residents with personal income tax preparation for more than 20 years. And this year, Manager Juan Gonzalez is prepared to assist all taxpayers take advantage of tax credits and rebates, especially targeted for the eco-minded. The staff of Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in fast, professional income tax preparation at a very reasonable price. Do you have a naughty tax problem? Let Juan Gonzalez and his staff provide the expert assistance you need. Jim Moore Income Tax is located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. This year, let Juan Gonzalez show you where the green is for green living taxpayers. Visit Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville. Be sure to take copies of your 2006 tax return and all of your 2007 W-2s and 1099s. Remember Jim Moore Income Tax for all of your tax preparation needs.
Oh,
At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
I'm mad at the Senate, but I do not advocate burning down Pelosi's house. We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Investigative reporter Jason Leopold joins us this half hour. Hey, Jason, how you doing?
Hey, Peter, how are you? Good to be with you.
Well, I'm a little bummed today. We just finished a segment with Caroline Fredrickson from the ACLU about this Senate vote on they call it the Protect America Act, but I consider it to be an invasion now approved by the Congress of our rights of privacy, our Fourth Amendment right to a probable cause before a search or seizure is engaged in. And what Caroline told us is that we are down to the firmness of Nancy Pelosi. And as somebody who's known her for a long time and roots for her, I have to say that I don't have much confidence that she's going to show the spine to essentially pocket this piece of legislation and say, I will not permit it to go to the conference committee.
Sure, and I think that, you know, the fact of the past, 4 to 6 weeks that we've seen Pat Leahy and various other senators sort of give lip service to what was coming their way, but yet really not take the action necessary, to fight this, I would imagine that by the time, it does get to the House, that you can rest assured that it's going to go through.
Well, and once again, we see these obvious techniques used by Bush, and on the one hand, it drives me bonkers, and on the other hand, I have to begrudgingly give them credit.
Right.
They know how to jam stuff through the Congress by jamming legislation up against deadlines for breaks, for vacations,
right,
and time off. And they continue to intimidate and browbeat the members of Congress into saying, you can't leave until you put our legislation through.
Right.
And the Democrats keep doing it.
And they keep doing it continuously. And it makes me wonder, what do the Democrats, do they truly, not support, or are they just basically giving us lip service? And I think that, Rockefeller is somebody that's so difficult to read, because it's really difficult to understand why it is that he, supports this immunity, when senators like Russ Feingold don't.
Well, and you can look at Rockefeller's fundraising. He has received money from telecom
interests.
But come on, he's got one of the safest seats in the Senate, and he's a Rockefeller.
Right.
He doesn't need campaign cash to direct his votes.
Yeah.
And well, and so, you know, Jason, I may have told you about this, but when I was in Washington, 3 weeks ago,
right.
I got this interview with Tom Daschle. We're at a healthcare conference, so mostly I'm supposed to talk about that. But I couldn't resist, and I asked him, I said, you know, what about your colleagues in the Senate and this immunity for the telecoms? And his position is that he supported it. And he made it seem like the telecommunications companies are victims of the wayward Bush administration.
Right.
Well, to an extent, they are. And on that basis, nobody asked me to negotiate this, Jason, but had they, I would say, well, look, let's put a limit on money damages in these kinds of lawsuits against the phone companies, because I'm most interested in getting information, not in getting money. I want to know how many people were spied upon, how many calls were intercepted, and I also want to know if anything happened in a positive way because of this.
Right.
You know, they're allowed to make these murky claims. Well, we're keeping the American people safe. We've busted up a number of plots. I can't tell you about them. Well, that is an assertion you can make and then hide behind secrecy and national security.
Sure. And I think the fact that this debate has been going on for, you know, nearly a year with the telecommunication companies, it's pretty obvious that they violated the law. I think that Pat Leahy today actually gave this real passionate speech about this immunity for the telecommunications companies and why it really does show that, you know, they did break the law. Unfortunately, you know, Pat Leahy is a little late with that speech. He could have given the same speech about a month ago, if not sooner, prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing, though, however, is that you know, John Conyers, early this afternoon, did write a letter to Fred Fielding over at the White House saying that they still want to see some evidence and some more documents related to the warrantless, you know, surveillance. And he sort of indicated in the letter that he and his colleagues are not going to support the stand alongside with the Senate, certainly Senate Democrats, in backing this bill. So I do think that it will face, you know, tough sledding, if you will, when it comes to the House. But again, I think that it would, you know, to put our confidence in somebody like Nancy Pelosi would be foolish, because we've been let down before.
Well, I mean, I'll put $5 on it that by the time they recess this Friday, that the House and Senate will have conferred and caved to the Senate version. I don't want to be right on that,
right.
But I simply don't see that there are enough Democrats willing to fight.
Yeah.
And on that note, Jason, indulge me for a moment here, because I'd like to read the names of the 18 senators who call themselves Democrats,
right,
who voted against the critical amendment. This was the Dodd-Feingold amendment that would have stripped the immunity provision for the phone companies out of the final bill. And here are the so-called Democrats who voted for that to kill that amendment. Evan Bayh of Indiana, Tom Carper of Delaware, Kent Conrad of North Dakota, Dianne Feinstein of California,
surprise,
Dan Inouye of Hawaii, Tim Johnson of South Dakota, and this is one of those days when I wish he hadn't recovered quite as quickly as he did from that stroke. Herb Kohl of Wisconsin. I don't understand that guy. And then here are the two girls who, well, forgive me, the two women. I don't wish to be sexist here, but I'm so frustrated by Mary Landrieu and Blanche Lincoln. On every critical issue of our civil liberties, they vote with the frickin' Republicans.
Right.
And I saw Blanche Lincoln speak in Washington when I was there. She's very charming and folksy and down home and, I'm sorry, she's limp when it comes to important issues. Here's another straddler, Claire McCaskill of Missouri. Now, she's a freshman senator. She's got another 4 years before she has to face the voters. And I realize Missouri is a conservative state, but they're not going to remember this 4 years from now. And I cannot conjure up a reason why she should have voted the way she did today.
Yeah, well, you know, I want to just put out there that If people really, if your listeners, you know, really want to dig deep into this story and, you know, check out your former producer, my colleague, Matt Renner,
mm-hmm.
Had a fantastic investigative piece where he documented how a think tank, a so-called progressive think tank, was, you know, not only connected, a think tank that is funded by telecommunications companies in which the board of directors have very strong ties to these, you know, phone companies, and how they're connected to some of the folks in the Senate who were backing this immunity provision.
You're right, and this is an article he posted at truthout.org on January 31st, and
yeah.
the think tank you're referring to is called Third Way.
Yeah.
It's funded and controlled by hedge fund managers, corporate lawyers, and business executives with ties to the telecommunications industry.
Yeah, it's a truly just a fantastic piece because, you know, I watch Matt just get this story and really just watch him follow it through. But what it represents is that, you know, Democrats are not immune, if you will, to influence by, you know, corporate lobbyists or just the, you know, the corporations in general. And certainly what he documented, Matt, is it would raises questions about the influence that's taking place and whether or not there's some quid pro quo going on.
Well, and let me lift two quick items here from his article, and I'm glad you brought it up. He lists the board members of this organization,
right.
think
right.
tank called Third Way. One is the son of the late Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall, who is a partner in a law firm that has represented AT&T Wireless in its merger with Singular. Reynold Levy, or Levy, former senior officer of AT&T in charge of government relations. Bernard Schwartz spent 34 years as CEO and chairman of Loral Space and Communications. He's all mobbed up in the,
exactly.
the military-industrial telecommunications complex. Then Robert Katz, chairman of the board of IPCS.inc. That is a wireless communications company linked to Sprint. And the other is a guy who's with Warburg Pincus, a major private equity firm. And finally, what Matt points out in the article is that on a crucial bill related to this debate, five of the 12 Democratic senators who voted to kill the judiciary version
right.
of this bill
Bingo.
Are Evan Bayh, Tom Carper, Mark Pryor, Ken Salazar, and Claire McCaskill, and every last one of them is on this list today voting the wrong way
exactly.
on the immunity provision for the telecoms.
Exactly.
And I wanted
to bring up Matt's story particularly because, you know, not only did he just he did a fantastic job in bringing this to the public's attention, but, again, demonstrating that there is a quid pro quo likely taking place here and that, you know, what we have come to hope that that the Democrats would, you know, represent our interests, represent what their constituents want, just they're not following through.
Yeah. Let me complete the list of the 18 Democrats who voted the wrong way today. The two Nelsons, they're not brothers, but Ben Nelson from Nebraska and what's the other one?
They're not the 80s group Nelson.
Right. From Florida. His name escapes me at the moment. Pryor of Arkansas, who we just mentioned on the Third Way list. Also Salazar of
right.
Colorado is there. Jay Rockefeller, not a surprise. Debbie Stabenow of Michigan, again, I can only scratch my head and say, why, Senator? Why?
Right.
And then Jim Webb of Virginia. Now, he has some conservative blood in his body. He's a former Republican.
Yeah.
But, he's in a very safe situation there. He's not up for re-election
yeah.
for four and a half years. And why he would vote with the Republicans on this is just beyond me.
Well, that's really the the thing that we really should zero in on and you know, pay close attention to is that we really haven't understood to this point, and we haven't gotten a very good, clear answer from the Democrats as to why they believe these, you know, companies deserve the immunity. They certainly have not verbalized it in a way that's convincing. And so, again, we're left with why are they voting this way? Mm-hmm. What are they doing? And you know, when you see the White House's position, the Bush administration's position on, you know, this we must provide them with immunity. It's just they're just doing their dirty work.
Indeed they are. We're going to take a break and return with Jason Leopold. If you have a question or comment, bring it on now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and just one accident out there. It's actually in Los Gatos as you come out of the Santa Cruz Mountains. Northbound 17 ramp over to eastbound Highway 9. Two cars there. They're both off to the side. CHP is on the scene now taking a report. Soquel City Streets, Mapplethorpe Lane at Soquel Drive. A broken down pickup truck. It's actually abandoned with a couple of flat tires. CHP is there now and looks like a tow truck still on the way. Some road construction. Ben Lomond, northbound Highway 9 from Middle Road out to Western Avenue. The left lane shut down for what they're calling roadway rehabilitation until the 29th. That's going to cause delays. Also in Santa Cruz, Highway 1, both directions between Market Street and Morrissey Avenue. We have some major road construction. The Brancy 40 Avenue overpass being taken down. That may cause delays throughout the area. Highway 68 currently checks in Stalin accident-free, and 101 through Salinas. So far, so good. No problems today. This is brought to you by JCPenney. Guys, this Valentine's Day, JCPenney is your undisputed jewelry headquarters for diamonds, gold, gemstones, and watches. Go to the jewelry store at JCPenney. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
I love coffee, I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia's the place for me. Coffee and tea, the honey and me. At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission Street and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest in handcrafted espresso drinks, whether it's a traditional Italian-style cappuccino or a sweet caramel macchiato. We offer a range of full-leaf teas, a choice of chais, including our new Zawadi African chai, and organic coffees. Coffeetopia also carries local baked goods fresh daily, including French-style pastries. Or try a toasted bagel with one of our exclusive non-dairy bagel spreads, either garlic dill or smoked tofu. Coffeetopia, Santa Cruz's oldest internet cafe, offers both free wireless and computer terminals for those who need them. Coffeetopia. Remember, we're here to help.
Coffee Topia.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Yeah, you can sing along, it's okay. We continue our chat with Jason Leopold, investigative reporter and author of the personal memoir called News Junkie. Jason, we got loads of calls here. Let's dive in. First up, Steve and Salinas. Welcome, Steve. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. Yeah, I've been calling, I don't know how many senators, for the last month or so, suggesting that if they want to give amnesty or immunity to these telecommunications companies, that it be on a conditional basis that they come in and testify in front of the Judiciary Committees under oath and tell them, you know, Judiciary Committees exactly what pressures were put on them, what was the rationale and everything, because, you know, I was in fifth grade, I knew this stuff was illegal.
Well, and the guy who actually exposed this, a former AT&T employee named Mark Allen, he was on our show a couple of months ago. And it was real obvious to him. He had no security clearances. He wasn't in a top-secret mode. He just saw them build this room and install a big switch in it, and he knew what was going on there.
Yep.
So, Steve, I share your concern. I have suggested that, I'm not so interested in the money damages against the phone companies. I want to know the truth.
Yeah, so they should be testifying under oath in these committees.
Well, I think you offer a good third way there. What do you think of that, Jason?
Yeah, that certainly would be delightful to see that. And as you said, Peter, if the immunity provision was stripped, it would obviously, and allowing some of these lawsuits to go forward, would provide discovery for plaintiffs and an eye into the spying. However, I can tell you that any effort to try and get these companies or their representatives to testify about this will be met with executive privilege.
Yeah.
Absolutely, without any doubt, and that's what they'll do because they were acting on behalf of a secret order by the Bush administration, and they will assert executive privilege.
Well, and we need to know why it occurred before 9/11.
Exactly.
There's some plausibility to the need to enhance our security, surveillance, intel gathering, even domestically after 9/11. But this started before,
right,
and nobody has adequately explained that.
Right.
Brian in Eureka, thanks for your call. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Jason Leopold.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Brian.
I just wanted to bring up a point that, and coming from a registered nurse background for the last 22 years, I look at these kind of things as, we can treat symptoms all day long, but if we don't get to the root cause of the disease process, we're never going to fix this. And I really think that what we all agitate over about why the Democrats are voting the way they do mm-hmm. comes down to campaign finance reform, publicly financed elections, that would needs to take out the corporate interest out of Congress.
Well, I think that's an important step. I don't know that it would provide the kind of backbone and constitutional courage that we expect from our senators on a day like this.
Yeah.
But isn't the lack of courage stemming from, again, like the guy said, hey, we all learn in fifth grade. Somebody gives you a lot of money and says to do something, we're living in a fairyland if we don't believe that these people are making decisions based upon monies they get from these people to finance their campaigns. If we went back to a time when TV, radio, newsprint, whatever, was mandated per their licenses to, carry messages mm-hmm. and the cost of elections and to run for election went
right.
down.
Brian, I understand your point. The problem I have is that the senators, the 18 Democrats that I named, most of them don't have issues of an electoral challenge or a shortage of campaign money. And
true.
So, yes, I think it is a part of the serious problem that we have in our political system, and I want to fix it, but I don't know that it is directly related to the cowardice we saw today.
True.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Up next, Marilyn is up. Sorry, Jason, you want to say something?
I was just going to say that, I think you're right. I think that the cowardice, as you pointed out, can certainly be demonstrated and will be demonstrated. It will come to a test in the weeks ahead when, they start voting for money to continue funding this occupation.
Yeah. Marilyn now in Sacramento on KSAC. Go ahead.
Hi, Peter.
Hello, Marilyn.
I am so hot. I am just too hot.
Well, is it the spring weather you're feeling or politics?
I am just upset with this. I called to ask, how do we recall a senator? And I do not mean Barbara either. I hope there are a lot of Californians listening, so maybe we'll get some feedback about this, because mm-hmm. I am fed up with that person.
Yeah. Jason, I'm not familiar with the specifics. There are recall provisions, for state legislators.
Right.
And we had the recall for governor. But I don't know how the confluence of state and federal election laws work regarding a U.S. senator. You could impeach her, but I don't know that you can recall her.
Yeah, well, let me first just say that, I've had conversations with various progressive groups, Progressive Democrats of America out here, and they all share Maryland's frustration. I've said that before. So they all want to see, this particular senator. I'm assuming she's speaking to Nancy Pelosi. Could I be mistaken, or is it Dianne Feinstein?
No, she's talking about Feinstein.
Okay. Yeah. Well, add her to the list as well. In terms of recalling her, it's just it's too long of a process to put into place in order for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the exact how it would exactly happen on a federal level,
mm-hmm.
but you basically would need to start with a movement, some cash, and a lot of support.
All right, Marilyn, you work on the cash. I'll work on the legal stuff. Let's talk in 48 hours.
We will.
We'll see what we can do. Now to Sandra in Sacramento. Go ahead, Sandra.
Hi, listen, Jason, I'm wondering, what is the end game here? Is this like some sort of beginning of the unraveling of the Fourth Amendment, and then these corporations will have carte blanche over all aspects of, what we do as citizens? I mean, I'm just sort of wondering, what is this?
Give us your constitutional best in 30 seconds, Jason.
Well, the end game is that this just basically solidifies the fact that they will continue to spy on Americans, and we just put that in we just put legislation in place to ensure that it continues.
Yeah, isn't that beautiful?
And that will become a law.
Democracy in action.
Yes.
Make that one word, in action. Thank you very much, Jason. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, Peter. Take care.
Jason Leopold. Coming up next, Melanie Sloan checks in from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. They won a round against the White House on the missing emails. We'll get the details next on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company, which offers more than 60 different wines made with certified organic grapes. Veronique, French wines are intimidating for some American consumers.
Mm-hmm.
How do you help break it down for us?
Don't be intimidated. What is there to be intimidated about? There's nothing too exotic about them. You either like them or you don't like them. It's really simple. You either like Van Gogh or you don't. You either like the Beatles or you don't. Wines are really a form of a vibration in a bottle, just like poetry, just like music. And the style of music that you like. So maybe you're going to love French wines. And then go for it.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. Democratic result is known in the Virginia primary. CBS News estimates Barack Obama, the winner there.
I believe in change, and I believe he's the one to make it happen.
In Maryland, bad weather has extended the voting for another hour and a half. CBS's Barry Bagnato is live now from Olney.
This delays results, but exit polls provide some clues that it could be a good night for Barack Obama here too, Harley. Maryland Democrats say he's more qualified than Hillary Clinton to be commander-in-chief. Asked which candidate attacks unfairly, 28% say Obama, 47% say Clinton. Not a good sign for her as she ramps up her rhetoric, accusing him of delivering great speeches with few specifics. In Virginia, exit polls show Obama won among every major group except white women. Live in Olney, Maryland, Barry Bagnato, CBS News.
All of a sudden, Hillary Clinton has lost 5 straight contests. Is her campaign in trouble? CBS News political correspondent Jeff Greenfield.
White women voted 58% to 42% for Hillary Clinton. That's a little less than it's been in other states. Among white men, Barack Obama beat Hillary Clinton 55-43. Now, if this seems surprising in a state like Virginia, which was once the capital of the Confederacy and the home of massive resistance to integration, this is not your great-grandfather's Virginia.
On the Republican primaries between John McCain and Mike Huckabee, it's too early, too close to estimate in Virginia. The Senate has passed the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act.
The ayes are 68 and the nays are 29.
It extends the government's ability to track communications from suspected terrorists in the world with anyone in this country. Your favorite TV shows ought to be back in production soon.
The lobby here at the Writers Guild Theater jammed with guild members as they vote on whether or not to end the strike. The vast majority of people we have spoken with say it's time to go back to work.
I voted to end the strike.
I'm voting to end the strike.
Let's go back to work.
There are a few dissenters, those who feel the strike should not end.
I voted no because it's a horrible deal.
The results of the vote will be announced tonight. If the strike is called off, writers will begin to go back to work tomorrow. Steve Futterman, CBS News at Writers Guild Vote Headquarters in Los Angeles.
Celebrating what used to be called Black History Month at the White House.
No one at the White House seemed able to resist the Temptations as they performed some of their classic hits and moves. It was an East Room event marking African American History Month, which President Bush used to denounce racially motivated displays of nooses.
The noose is not a symbol of prairie justice, but of gross injustice.
He said such displays are deeply offensive and have no place in America. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
At least 18 cars piled into each other on foggy Highway 99 south of Fresno, California today. California Highway Patrol officers say at least 10 people were injured there. On Wall Street, the Dow jumped 133 points today. The NASDAQ was pretty flat. Oil prices were down 81 cents a barrel. This is CBS News.
So, hon, how do you want your hair done?
Oh, I just want to try something really different.
Okay, well, if we trim your disorganized finances, layer your expenses, and give your late invoicing some body, you'll look just like a movie star.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why millions of businesses rely on QuickBooks software to easily handle routine chores, like organizing finances and tracking expenses, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a stylist, aren't you?
Award-winning.
QuickBooks. Get back to business. Start today at QuickBooks.com.
Today's most fuel-efficient mid-size cars can get about 30 miles per gallon. In a hybrid car, about 50 miles per gallon. But the CSX trains that bring those cars to you, they can move a ton of freight, 423 miles, on a single gallon of fuel. Too bad we can't all drive a train. Go to CSX.com to learn more about our commitment to protecting the environment. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Whatever made one of the astronauts sick in space is still under NASA's hat.
He's doing well enough to head out on the mission's second spacewalk tomorrow.
I feel really great right now.
But Hans Schlegel is not saying anything about his mystery illness.
Medical issues are private.
He tells CBS News the first spacewalk went fine without him.
And I fully back the decision what we did to make the most success out of our mission so far.
Schlegel says he was disappointed to miss the first spacewalk, but the big picture is more important than his own personal feelings. Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
It is so dangerous to be in parts of Africa. The famous Dakar Rally, perhaps the world's most challenging cross-country race, has been moved to Chile and Argentina. The race will start in Buenos Aires and finish there after a loop through Chile that goes through some mighty rugged terrain. It won't be Dakar, but it will be awfully tough. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Taking care of
your message get lost in the crowd. Office Depot takes care of that with 49-cent color copy to make sure your work stands out. Only at Office Depot will Xerox certified print specialists bring the proven power of color to your message in presentations, brochures, flyers, and more. So hurry into Office Depot today and get your business noticed. Office Depot, taking care of business with 49-cent color copies. Valid for letter and legal size single-sided copies on up to 28-pound paper stock.
Ew, get the stinky dog away from me.
Healthy dogs don't stink. Healthy dogs eat Dynavite.
The omega-3 fatty acids, the enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
859-428-1000.
Tons of energy, no more bad smells. DINOVITE.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We are launching into the free speed zone this hour. Your calls and comments are welcome at 888-5. Peter B., you want to talk about the Senate vote immunizing the telecom companies? That's what I want to talk about. 888-573-8372. That's 888-5-PETER-B. And to get us started in the free speed zone, Melanie Sloan joins us, Executive Director of CRU, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And another modest victory on the road to full disclosure from the Bush White House. Melanie, congratulations. A court ruled in your favor yesterday.
Thank you, Peter. It was indeed a good day.
Tell us about this Colleen Kohler-Catelli, a district court judge in Washington.
Well, CRU had sued the Office of Administration. The Office of Administration is inside the White House, and it is basically the IT office. They handle all the technology for all the White House components, which includes the Office of the President, but also the Office of Management Budget, the Council on Environmental Quality, every kind of office that's within the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And they provide IT support. And we've talked a lot on your show about the missing over 10 million White House emails. Well, the Office of Administration would have been responsible for maintaining emails and maintaining the IT system. We learned from a confidential source, who told CRU about the over 10 million emails that were missing between March 2003 and October 2005, that in 2005, the White House Counsel's Office, then headed by Harriet Myers, had been told that there was this problem with the missing email by the Office of Administration, and that they had created all sorts of charts and graphs to talk about the problem and to figure out what a proper recovery system would be, how they could go about getting all these emails back.
Mm-hmm.
So when we discovered this, we submitted a Freedom of Information Act request to the Office of Administration asking for these documents. And the Office of Administration was initially going along with that, and they had granted our request for expedited review because this was a matter of great public interest. They were going to give it to us quickly. And then all of a sudden, they stopped short in their tracks, and they said, wait a minute, we're not actually an agency subject to the Freedom of Information Act after all.
Now, are they part of Dick Cheney's fourth branch of government?
Well, you know, that's pretty much what they were arguing because, okay, CRU, up until the day they suddenly said to us, we're not subject to the FOIA, they had FOIA regulations on their website. They had responded to FOIA requests for 20 years in the past.
Whoops.
But suddenly now, because we were asking for something sensitive to the White House, oh, well, we're not really an agency subject to the FOIA.
Mm-hmm. And so I've been breezing through the order issued by the judge on Monday, February 11th, and what she orders here is very limited discovery. It says the court has reviewed the party's filings and, out of an abundance of caution, concludes that very limited discovery is appropriate, subject to the strict parameters described below. So, first of all, she ruled that the Office of Administration is, in fact, subject to FOIA requests. Is that right?
No, she didn't.
Oh, she didn't.
She's deciding that she can't decide that yet.
Oh.
She's saying she can't decide yet because there are some conditions under which this office, even though it was previously an office subject to the FOIA, might not really be.
Oh.
Basically, if an office only serves the president, does nothing but services the president of the United States, and there's a case, for example, that says you can't FOIA something from the White House chef, in fact, because the chef only is there to make meals for the president. They have no independent functions.
Mm-hmm.
Here, on the other hand, we say the Office of Administration has lots of independent functions because they work for other offices, such as the Council on Environmental Quality, and the Office of Management and Budget, that in fact are also FOIA-able agencies. And so we say that these guys have their own independent authority. So what the judge has said is, okay, CRU, go ahead and you can conduct some discovery, and we're not exactly sure yet what is meant by we can conduct discovery. We hope that that means we can take depositions, but she might also mean we could ask questions in interrogatory form, which is paper questions, basically, or we could ask for documents, although she used the phrase very limited discovery throughout her order in italics to make it clear she wasn't going to let us go very far.
Right, and she uses the term you can engage in what may be viewed as jurisdictional discovery. What does that mean?
Right. It means that we we can try to get the information that will show us whether or not this is the kind of independent agency subject to the FOIA. So we can ask questions about, for example, the role of the Office of Administration, who they answer to, what kind of functions they engage in. We can ask people what their day-to-day is like and if they are involved in functions that are independent and separate from the president.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so what are you going to do with this? You're going to conduct some limited discovery.
Obviously, we're going to conduct limited discovery. You know, it doesn't sound like a lot because it's all this legalese, but it does basically at least give us a window to come back and find out from people who worked in the administration, the Office of Administration in the past and now, and ask them questions to show that, yeah, this office really is the kind of agency that should be subject to the FOIA. If that, in fact, happens, and then the judge then finds that they are subject to the FOIA, then they'll have to provide all that information that we're really looking for, which is how it came to be that 10 million emails are missing from the White House and what kind of plan the White House was given by the Office of Administration to recover those emails, and maybe we can find out why they didn't ever do it.
But this order doesn't actually let you see a single email.
Nope. And you know what? We may never see a single email, and that's kind of the disappointing thing. There's two laws governing these emails. There's the Presidential Records Act and there's the Federal Records Act. Documents that are federal records are subject to the FOIA, and we would eventually be able to see a lot of them. And those would be, again, documents that are belong to places like the Office of Management and Budget. But things that are presidential records are not subject to the FOIA, and we wouldn't have to be able to see.
Mm-hmm.
But our question right now is really more, why is it 10 million email suddenly went missing? What happened to them, and why didn't the White House recover them? And I think when we understand some of those answers, we may have a much better understanding of what's been going on in this administration between 2003 and 2005, during, for example, the time when the Iraq War started and Valerie Plame Wilson's name was leaked by top White House officials.
Melanie Sloan with us from CRU. You can read about this and read the court order yourself. It's in a PDF file at citizensforethics.org. That's on the web, citizensforethics.org. Now, Melanie, just to clarify, when we talk about these up to 10 million emails, are these a combination of those that were sent and received on government servers? Is this exclusively the messages that were sent and received on Republican Party servers and presidential campaign servers, or is it both?
These are email, and it's, by the way, over 10 million. These are emails that are solely on the White House servers. So these are emails that are all internal to the White House that are missing. And thanks to the chairman of the Government Oversight Committee, Henry Waxman, we know that there are, for example, 437 days for which there are absolutely no email for some components of the White House. And we know from our sources that there are many other days for which there should be tens of thousands of emails, and there might be, for example, as low as 5 emails.
Mm-hmm. Well, those were heavy spam days, you know, and you delete all that stuff.
Right, now, and it is, and one of the things that we're looking for here is that we understand that tech people in the Office of Administration figured out exactly how many emails were missing because they were able to approximate based on past usage and, you know, looking at other days. They have a much closer figure to how many were really missing. And the fact of the matter is, it's very suspicious that so many emails are missing, and then it's even more suspicious because, you know, people have technological problems, but it's even more suspicious that even when confronted with those problems, the White House has refused to ever put into place any kind of recovery system.
Yeah.
When this first came out last April, Dana Perino, the White House spokesperson, said they were looking into it and they were looking to recover it. Well, frankly, that's over 3 years ago now, and the White House hasn't made move one to recover those emails, which I think really lends credibility to the idea that they don't want them found.
Yeah. And you do have a court order that was issued in late January ordering the White House to preserve all of these records. What's your level of confidence that that order arrived in time and will be adhered to?
Well, sadly, I mean, I think that's a terrific order, and it's a big win for us, and that's in another piece of litigation we have with a different judge. But I think that it may well be a little late. I think that a lot of material has probably been destroyed, and I think that's what's so important about this is, you know, this isn't just about CRU suing the White House and trying to get the White House. These were important records that are historical records that we as a society value. Presidential records are viewed as records that don't belong to any particular president or administration. They belong to you and me and the citizens of the United States, and we're going to be denied access to those important records in the future, and we're not going to know everything that we should have been able to find out about what was really going on in the Bush White House.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the work you're doing. Keep digging there, Melanie. Sometime we're going to strike something.
I think so.
All right. Great to talk with you. We'll check in next week.
Sounds good. Bye-bye.
Melanie Sloan, Executive Director of CREW, that's Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. We're in the free speech zone now. Let's take our first call. It's Harlem calling from Sacramento. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you very much. You know, I'm a criminal defense attorney, and the majority of the battles that we have are based on discovery. And frequently we found that when we hit a point that shows that something illegal or inappropriate happened that would knock out the government's conduct and result in a dismissal, there are a variety of things that the government uses, albeit dishonestly, to hide that discovery.
Mm-hmm.
Things, statements like, well, it was lost, we had a computer glitch, and the machine was sent overseas, and when it came back, it didn't have any of that in it. And this is something that all attorneys have to deal with. And, you know, I've known Henry Waxman for about 40 years. I knew him before he first went into even the state legislature here.
Uh-huh.
And Henry is probably as good as it's going to get in terms of a bright, sharp, absolutely scrupulously honest investigator. I mean, this is a guy who cannot be bought. Henry could have made $1 million a year in private practice, and he is so straight-laced about everything he does, he doesn't even get jobs for his supporters, kids. He won't do it
mm-hmm.
because he doesn't want to be compromised. But I don't think this is ever going to be resolved through litigation. The only thing that's going to happen, I mean, even if we had a judge like Felton Henderson in San Francisco, who's
right.
probably the most fearless judge and also a real lover of the Constitution,
mm-hmm.
I think where this is going to come is the next president we get, you know, hopefully it's either going to be Hillary or Barack, is going to make several changes that's going to see that this just doesn't happen anymore, the
mm-hmm.
first of which would be a ban on presidential signing statements. Because
I'm with you there. Harlem, I know you got more to say, and I want to hear it. Can you hold through the break?
You bet.
All right, great. And we'll take more calls, too. Jump on the line in the free speech zone here at 888-5 Peter B. 888-573-8372. 18 Democrats voted the wrong way to immunize the phone companies and legalize the law-breaking of the Bush administration. Senator Clinton of New York was not present for the vote today. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Thank you.
Lydia from Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Carmel, and we have something new, a unique opportunity to give yourself or someone special the gift of consultation with nationally respected life coach and career mentor, Raymond Davi. Paul and I know firsthand the empowerment Ray has to offer. Discover how changes can propel you where you want to go in the areas of personal and career growth or planning goals for ongoing success, as well as insights for your work-life balance. Don't hesitate. Call and reserve your 90-minute appointment or purchase a gift certificate now. Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, 624-4955 or www.pilgrimsway.com.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and we do have a new accident for Monterey. The westbound 68 connector ramp over to northbound Highway 1. Two cars involved in this. They're both off to the side. CHP just arriving on the scene. In Salinas, northbound 101 at Main Street, vehicles spun out and landed in the ice plants off to the right-hand shoulder. CHP's on the scene. Minor delays as you approach the scene. 17 Santa Cruz Mountains currently checks in. Stalin accident-free. The Fishhook southbound 17 over to southbound 1. You are starting to see brake lights there. Traffic stays stop and go down into the Aptos area. For Ben Lohman, northbound Highway 9 between Middle Road and Western Avenue. The left lane shut down for road work until the end of this month. That's going to cause delays. And in Santa Cruz, Highway 1 in both directions between Market Street and Morrissey Avenue. Some road construction. They're taking down the Brancy 40 Avenue overcrossing, so that's going to cause delays out there. This is brought to you by Jack in the Box. Come try Jack's new sirloin steak melt, hot and hearty sirloin strips topped with grilled onions and melting cheese on grilled sourdough bread, only at Jack in the Box. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I went out walking through streets paved with gold. Lifted some stones, saw the skin and bones of a city without a soul. I went out walking under an atomic sky. Where the ground won't turn and the rain it burns like the tears when I said goodbye. Yeah, I went with nothing, nothing but the thought of you. I went wandering.
Late great Johnny Cash, a distinctive voice. I certainly miss it. That was a collaboration with U2 called The Wanderer. Lines open for you in the free speech zone at 888-5-PETER-B for our listeners in Sacramento at 1240 Talk City, KSAC. Our efforts continue to bring more advertisers to the station and keep Progressive Talk on in Sacramento. And today I'd like to invite listeners in Sacramento, the next time you visit a supermarket, particularly a Raley's or Bel Air, look up the manager or look for the suggestion box. And make sure that you convey to them your desire that they support Progressive Talk Radio and KSAC. To our knowledge, no major grocery chain is currently advertising on the station, and so there's a great opportunity for you to use your spending on staples, the very basic items of your life, to direct that they support the radio station that you listen to. So again, Raley's and Bel Air Markets are a target. We'd like you to go visit them and spread the word that we'd like them to support Progressive Talk Radio on KSAC. Returning now to caller Harlem from the Sacramento area. Thanks for holding on, Harlem.
Sure. I guess the long and short of it is we have to understand we're going to have to eat this one. And the reason we're going to have to eat it is because the avenues that are open aren't really going to lead us anywhere. The you know, I've always had the belief that that this country is strong enough to endure any rascal who's in there for 4 or 8 years. For God's sakes, we survived Nixon.
Yep, and Reagan.
And Nixon tried to steal the country. You know, that was the difference. The problem with these guys is they do not understand or have any love for the U.S. Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
To them, this is just another Texas Rock'em Sock'em. And, you know, when you look at the multitude of incompetent young attorneys from right-wing law schools like Liberty University and and the others like that, who were made supervisors in the Justice Department over talented senior staff, when you look at the little fool who is now press secretary, who hadn't even heard of the
Bay of Pigs, right? Dana Perino.
Yeah, the fact is that we're not going to solve this way. The only way to do it is really with an administration coming in that doesn't have any kind of incentive to support and hide what the current administration did.
Well, and I want to point you to Robert Perry, who's a regular on our program every Friday, 3 o'clock Pacific time. His website is consortiumnews.com. And in a series of articles recently, he's been raising important questions about whether either Clinton or Obama would allow investigations into the wrongdoing of the Bush administration. And Perry cites the way Bill Clinton came into office and buried all of the investigations into Iran-Contra and other shenanigans of the Bush 1 administration. And Obama has not, he's Mr. Turn the Page. And he wants to practice a new politics in Washington. And my fear is that includes washing away the sins of the Bush administration. And so we really need to...
You raise a good point there. You raise a wonderful point.
We need to communicate with both candidates and let them know we want accountability and we want to know everything that they did under the murky secrecy of this administration.
Well, you know, Clinton was not a liberal.
Nope.
And Clinton moved the Democratic Party to the right so that he could see electability. Obama, although he has this tag of the most liberal, Obama grew up in Chicago politics.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a very functional guy, not necessarily a liberal. But
right, and not that progressive. He's a constitutionalist. He used to teach constitutional law, so we can hope for some things there. Harlem, I'm out of time, but I appreciate your commentary today. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
More straight ahead, 888-5, Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi there, KRXA listeners. This is Hal on behalf of the Central Avenue Bakery. Tina and her staff want to thank all of you for becoming regulars at the Central Avenue Bakery at 173 Central Avenue in beautiful Pacific Grove. February is a special month at the Central Avenue Bakery as they celebrate Valentine's Day with an Italian buffet and a free glass of wine with every dinner. Space is limited, so make your reservations for Valentine's Day now. Then, at the end of February, Central Avenue Bakery celebrates its third anniversary with live music, free food, and prizes. Enjoy organic foods, pastries, and coffee. They also have a gluten-free menu and many organic gluten-free pastries. Stop by one of my favorite restaurants, the Central Avenue Bakery in Pacific Grove, today.
Slow down. Got to make the morning last.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast, and I'm inviting you to join me Sundays to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon, and we'll make the morning last right here on KRXA 540.
What you know when I've come.
Do you want some downtime? A break from work and worry without breaking the bank? At the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes in Watsonville will give you the breathing space you need. The Spa at Pajaro Dunes is now open to the general public. Spend an hour being pampered with a warm stone massage or European facial. Gather your friends together for a spa party or surprise your sweetie with a couples massage. Stay for a long, lazy weekend in a luxurious condo at the Dunes with 150 acres of beach and wetlands. You'll have your own ocean view and the price is unbeatable. Only a short drive from anywhere on the Central Coast, relief is only minutes away without the time and expense of a long trip. We'll also simplify your wedding plans. Have your ceremony, guests, and special events all in the same place. In nearby Watsonville, at the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes will make your life a little easier and a lot more enjoyable. Call 888-91-DUNES. Dunes and mention KRXA to get our lowest rates. That's 888-91-DUNES.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Lines open for you in the free speech zone this very moment. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372. We've talked a lot today about the Senate's sordid vote going along with the Bush administration to give immunity to the phone companies for spying on American citizens inside our country. Now, the guilt is primarily on the part of the administration, but these phone companies went along with it. And now, with 18 Democrats in the Senate colluding, the amnesty has passed. It can be stopped in the House because the two versions of the bill, the House and Senate version, aren't the same. So they have to be reconciled in what they call the conference committee. But based on recent escapades, I have no confidence that the Democrats have the backbone to stop it. I wish they did. And after all, Tom Unziker just spent more than a month of his life riding 100 miles every day on his bicycle from Santa Cruz to Washington, trying to bring them some courage. But most of them wouldn't even accept his offering. Tom's with us to debrief, and I invite you to call in and express yourselves, because I'm very grateful that Tom went to Washington with his bags of ping pong balls to take cojones and courage, whatever metaphor you want to use, to our elected officials. And this is just a real obvious example of where it is so sorely needed. Tom Unziker, CourageToCongress.com. Welcome back to California.
Peter B., thank you very much. It's so great to be back on the West Coast.
Well, we turned up the heat for you.
You really did. Somebody told me once that I was a traveling high-pressure zone, so I may have brought it with me.
Well, I imagine the first thing you did when you got off the plane was put 100 miles on your bicycle.
I wish I could have, but the bicycle is in transit with Federal Express right now. We packed it up and shipped it back.
Oh, I see. So you're bike-free.
Pretty much.
Well, Tom, give us your impressions, particularly of last week in Washington, because from here we work pretty hard to try to secure some meetings with elected officials, the very people that you wanted to bring your symbolic courage to, and we found that there are huge walls at the People's House that prevent the people from talking to the people inside. And we found a lot of resistance, people who were a little squeamish about the idea of balls as a metaphor. And frankly, I find that silly. because, you know, we live in a culture where that kind of language and metaphor is used on a regular basis. Yet we saw some very progressive members of Congress and their staffs get very concerned about how it would play if they received your package of balls.
That's true. And you and your staff deserve kudos from anybody that is listening. You really did try to secure both publicity and meetings, and I spent hours on the phone in D.C. doing the same.
Mm-hmm.
And we got no FaceTime with any of our California legislators. I did bump into a legislator from Wisconsin, and he was the only one that I was able to speak with face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
The barriers in Washington are incredible. I thought that I was in Soviet Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, the police presence there is astounding, and there are different kinds of police. You have to read their badges. There are Capitol Police, there are Metro Police, there are security guards, mm-hmm. there's building police, Senate police, House police. Every door to every office building has security and personnel that make the TSA at the airports look like amateurs.
Well, you can understand why Cynthia McKinney got all upset and popped off and smacked one of those guys with her cell phone.
pretty much. They are very, very thorough. I was taking off shoes, emptying pockets, putting cell phones in everything else. The only thing that didn't show up on the screen were the balls.
Mm-hmm.
But the first day that we attempted delivery, I went to the Longworth building, which is where Sam Farr, our local representative, is housed. And I figured that he would, as my rep, deserve the first package. And so at that point I was in my Captain America suit, a red, white, and blue stars and stripe bike jersey with blue tights. I didn't have the cape,
mm-hmm.
but I was wearing the helmet. So it was kind of interesting. I got rather strange looks, but they passed me right on through, and I had the packages in my backpack,
mm-hmm.
And it went through, and like I said, didn't show up on the radar there.
The metal detectors, right?
You bet. Mm-hmm. And we got up to Representative Farr's office, and his chief of staff met with us. And once I explained that there was no slur, anything intended, she explained to us, number one, that the congressman was out of town for the week,
mm-hmm.
but number two, that there were a lot of barriers we were going to have to surmount if we wanted to get them delivered, because they couldn't help as a staff. There is no internal mechanism where a citizen can bring in things to be delivered,
right?
And have them delivered by staff. There are a couple of internal mail offices, but then everything has to be inspected, split open, irradiated, franked or postage paid, and in order to do that, you end up having to go almost all the way to Baltimore. They put as many barriers in the way as possible.
Well, and it's been 5.5 years since the anthrax attacks on only Democratic members of the Senate. And, you know, how long are we going to keep the official congressional office buildings and the Capitol itself in a maximum security state? I really think that at a certain point, we have to throw off these security measures and say we are a free people. And there may be, you know, incidents that occur, but to put these barriers between the people and our government in the name of security, when there don't appear to be any immediate risks, it just seems very extreme. And that the security agenda is being used to put up a very powerful wall between us and our elected officials.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I wouldn't put it past, I'm not normally a conspiracy theorist, but I wouldn't put it past somebody in the neocon camp to have cooked that up as a way to isolate the government from the people. You're right. The barriers have to come down. And once in the building, the insulation continues. The staff that you speak with when you visit an individual member's office,
mm-hmm.
You never know with whom you're speaking, whether they're an intern, a volunteer. We met interns from Australia and from China. The gentleman from China had very limited English. At one point, I realized I was speaking with the chief of staff, with the congresswoman from Hawaii. So you never know with whom you're speaking, and have no idea whether, number one, they're understanding you, or number two, they're actually going to do what they're promising that they're going to do.
Yeah.
The congressmen walk around like rock stars, insulated by insulated by security and by AIDS and everything else. It's a surreal world out there, Peter.
Sure, they have their own elevators, so you can't ride up and down and talk to them in between floors. And yeah, they live in a bubble. And if you notice, most of those congressional offices have a marked door, and then between the offices, there's a door that isn't marked. And that's the way that the member of Congress sneaks in and out of his or her office when there are constituents lying in wait in the lobby.
That's standard business practice. And the member that I met had come in the front door, and I turned around and he looked at my bicycle jersey and I said, "And who are you?" And he said, "Well, I'm the one who works here." caught him a little bit off guard, but it turned out he was a cyclist and he recognized my jersey.
Uh-huh.
You know, told me it was a British jersey, and I said, "Well, stars and stripes are British, but they're also American to me, sir."
Yeah.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
But he took the balls with good grace. We delivered about 100 packets on over the 2 days. The second day, we attempted to go into the Rayburn building with all of them. You know, we wanted to just sweep through.
Mm-hmm.
And the security guard at the Rayburn, well, one of the 10 security guards at the Rayburn building told us that it was illegal for citizens to distribute anything door to door.
Really? You can't take a book? You can't take a leaflet or flyer?
You can go to a specific office, but you cannot go door to door.
Oh, I see.
No leaflets, no flyers, no advertising material, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, I specifically asked to visit Pelosi's office and was let in and delivered my package to the speaker. But we were able to get through security because the guards recognized us at the Longworth building and went up, and this is where Congressman Farr's staff really, really helped us out. They let us drop our balls in their office. I went down to the security guard and I said, "Look, we don't want to get anybody in trouble, but we would like to visit specific Democrats' office and drop off packages." And he said, "I didn't hear anything, and you are in the building." So we spent most of that day going to Democratic Senate representatives' offices. We hit most of the Blue Dog Democrats because they're the ones that are caving most of the time.
Yeah.
And we got the leaders and prime committee members like Conyers. And toward the end of the day, the security guards from Rayburn, we'd finished the Longworth building and we're back in the Rayburn building, and we got caught and told in no uncertain terms, "Do not come back."
Well, you should have said, "Well, I'm with Medea Benjamin." Well, Tom, just about a minute or two here remaining. Give us your thoughts. You had a lot of time to think about our country as you rode more than 100 miles a day, 3,000 miles plus, all the way from Santa Cruz to Washington. What are your reflections at the conclusion of this quest?
That it was definitely worthwhile. 3,968 miles down the road, I know more about our country than I ever did before. I've heard the voice of a collective people. It transcends political schisms. It's really incredible. One of the thoughts that I had, Peter, was that back in the 60s and 70s, we would talk about issues, and the debate would be how to accomplish them or to what degree to accomplish them. And today, we're not doing that. We're dealing with wedge issues like abortion or gay marriage. And those are tools that are being used by people to keep the citizens quiet and out of the voting booth.
Mm-hmm.
I saw people who so wanted their experiences validated, who so wanted to contact and be in contact and have a voice in the government, who were absolutely isolated. And then I got to Washington, and I found out why. The levels of unreality there are unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And so my job now is going to be to try to get people to shout those walls down. And a start would be, like you said, get rid of the security that went in when, you know, 6 years ago we had probably bogus anthrax scare.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Tom, thank you very much for what you did. I'm proud of you, and I am very pleased that you plugged ahead and put your head down every day, even when it was raining and freezing, and rode all the way almost 4,000 miles to Washington. You carried a message for all of us, and I'm really grateful.
Well, Peter B., I'm grateful to you and your cohorts on Progressive Radio because you're the ones that spurred me to do this. Activism starts with one person. And anybody out there can make a difference just by picking up the telephone. And thanks to people like you, hopefully more will do something.
All right, Tom Unziker, thank you very much, sir. We'll talk again.
Thanks, Peter B.
And the website's still there, CourageToCongress.com. Brian just filled me in a little while ago that Mike Huckabee's campaign van ran out of gas on the way to the airport in Washington, D.C. They put some gas in, but they only had a couple of bucks. Ran out of gas again before they got to the airport. Mr. Huckabee, it may be time to throw in the towel. We'll continue in a moment and go back to the phone calls at 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and we do have a new accident for Monterey. The westbound 68 connector ramp over to northbound Highway 1. Two cars involved in this. They're both off to the side. CHP just arriving on the scene. In Salinas, northbound 101 at Main Street, vehicle spun out and landed in the ice plants off to the right-hand shoulder. CHP's on the scene. Minor delays as you approach the scene. 17 Santa Cruz Mountains currently checks in, stalling accident-free. The Fishhook, southbound 17 over to southbound 1. You are starting to see brake lights there. Traffic stays stop and go down into the Aptos area. For Ben Lohman, northbound Highway 9 between Middle Road and Western Avenue. The left lane shut down for road work until the end of this month. That's going to cause delays. And in Santa Cruz, Highway 1 in both directions between Market Street and Morrissey Avenue. Some road construction. They're taking down the Brancy 40 Avenue overcrossing, so that's going to cause delays out there. This is brought to you by Jack in the Box. Come try Jack's new sirloin steak melt, hot and hearty sirloin strips topped with grilled onions and melting cheese on grilled sourdough bread, only at Jack in the Box. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we would like to personally invite you to experience why Monterey County food critics are raving about our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Could it be our fantastic one-of-a-kind specialty pizzas or huge calzones, such as the Jamaican Me Crazy, the White Sands Beach, the Veggin' Out, or the Wild Mushroom Dream?
Or could it be because we also offer delicious salads, sandwiches, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger?
Recently recognized as Local's Favorite, Best for Families, Most Creative, Big Screen and Big Eat, and we'll return to spend our own money.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with an ice-cold draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, Fresh Brewed Hawaiian Coffee, or Lappert's Hawaiian Ice Cream.
That's A Pizza Paradise, located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. Or call 582-9149 or see us on the web at apizzaparadise.net.
That's A Pizza Paradise.
582-9149.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Valero at Mid-Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. We offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota, and our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
to win. A world of never ending happiness. You can always see the sun. Day.
Oh, come on, Prince. Let's just go crazy. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 9 minutes before the hour. 888-5 Peter B. If you'd like to get in the last word, it's Nancy in Winters. Welcome, Nancy.
Hi, Peter.
How you doing?
Now, this is for all the people who feel that the government has lost touch with the American people, and you and Tom were just talking about it, and you talk about it quite often. I just wanted to remind people that on March 19th, which is a Wednesday, there's going to be a no business as usual day. It's also being called other things, 5 years too many.
Mm-hmm.
We have a month now for people to be prepared to take part in this. And it's basically, well, specifically, it's about the fact that the war has gone on. So, of course, the anniversary of the war.
Mm-hmm.
It's the start of the sixth year. And there's going to be a lot of nonviolent actions going on across the country. So I'm just encouraging people to get involved. You're also encouraged to not go to work, not go to school. And I think what we can make this be, really, would be a strike by the American people to show our displeasure.
Well, I'd love to see a general strike in this country to send the very message that you just articulated. I feel that the public is too passive at this time.
I do, too.
And it's disappointing, particularly those of us old enough to remember the passion of protest against the Vietnam War. And how that continued for such a long time in many different forms. I do understand as well, Nancy, that there is a protest scheduled for the 15th. And I don't have a calendar in front of me, but I suspect that's a Saturday or a Sunday to attempt to get some big crowds onto the streets of our big cities. And so I do encourage people to participate in these actions to the extent that you can and that you're motivated to do that. It's really frustrating, Nancy, you know, to see this NSA Legalization Act move through the Senate today. We know that the Democrats aren't even going to attempt the lame efforts that they put forward a year ago to end the occupation and force Bush to bring home more troops. Gates and Petraeus are laying out the message that when the so-called surge increment comes home, that the rest of the troops are staying for the foreseeable future. They euphemize it as a pause in the withdrawal of our forces. But we're going to be there for a long time. And now we have the backdrop of the Guantanamo military tribunals, the kangaroo courts. They're going to be fired up just in time for the elections this fall, so that they can demonize these individuals. And, you know, it puts me, a guy like me, in an awkward position because I don't necessarily believe that any of them is innocent. But we know that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was waterboarded, and so they're going to try this guy, try to convict him with a death penalty option based on information that they got through torture. And even if Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is guilty of something, he has tried to confess to things that he couldn't possibly have been involved with. And so we are going to be left with just another ugly legacy where the U.S. has departed from the rule of law and the supremacy of our Constitution in order to achieve a political goal, a short-term political goal, which is to use these people as characters and fodder in the American election this coming fall.
Yeah, I think, quite honestly, I feel a lot of times like the Democrats and Republicans are just playing good cop, bad cop with everybody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt this way for quite some time. I mean, you get real hopeful that people will stand up and do the right thing, and then they cave.
Yep. All right, Nancy, well, thank you for the information, and update us as we get closer, will you?
All right, thank
Please
you.
Please do. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Well, and here is a just a warm and fuzzy note to end our program on today. In an interview with the BBC, Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia rejected the notion that U.S. courts have any control over the actions of American troops at Guantanamo Bay. He argued that torture of terror detainees is not banned under the U.S. Constitution and insisted that his high court has no obligation to act as a moral beacon for other nations. Quote, we don't pretend to be some Western mullahs who decide what is right and wrong for the whole world. Scalia said it's extraordinary to suggest that the Eighth Amendment, which prohibits the government from engaging in cruel and unusual punishment, could be applied to the actions of U.S. interrogators questioning foreign subjects detained overseas. In his view, Scalia said that while the Eighth Amendment would prohibit locking up someone indefinitely as punishment for a crime, for example, the CIA or military would be perfectly justified in, keeping a suspected insurgent or member of Al-Qaeda imprisoned forever if the detainee refused to answer questions. It's obvious that what can't be done for punishment can't be done to extract information that is crucial to the society. He put that in the form of a question. Is it obvious? So he's suggesting that it's not obvious. And then he said tactics that critics have described as torture could be usable in so-called ticking time bomb scenarios or even when such a primal line does not exist. Now keep in mind that John McCain, who will be the Republican nominee for president this year, is opposed to torture. And to his credit, he tried to ban this administration from using it, and he lost. But he regularly, out there on the campaign trail, trying to persuade those real conservatives, the real nutcase conservatives, that he's conservative like them, he invokes the names of Justices Scalia, Thomas, Roberts, and Alito.